I'm your humble host, Peter B. Join me every afternoon, 3 to 6, right here on KRXA 540. With great guests, hot topics, and a little humor, we help you navigate in today's world. More information, web streaming, and archives at peterbcollins.com. The Peter B. Collins Show, afternoons 3 to 6 on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. Prime Minister Tony Blair is preparing to announce a major reduction in British troops in Iraq. According to reports in the British press, the announcement could come as soon as tomorrow. There are reports suggesting Britain's contingent of 7,000 in Iraq could be cut to 4,000 by early summer. Already, reaction from the White House, where we go live to CBS's Mark Knoller. Mark?
Jim, word of the partial British pullout comes as no surprise to the White House. An official here says President Bush conferred about it this morning in a secure video hookup with British Prime Minister Blair. In the White House view, it's a sign of success. The official says the situation in the areas of southern Iraq in which British troops are deployed has improved so well that security can be turned over to Iraqi forces. The U.S. hopes to be able to do the same thing eventually. Live at the White House, I'm Mark Knoller, CBS News.
The military says an American soldier was killed fighting insurgents today. In Baritz, CBS's Cammie McCormick on what the military is up against.
First Lieutenant Ryan Bakey's company has lost five men trying to protect the Baritz police station. They occupy the building now, but evidence of the fighting is all around.
We made contact with quite a few people in that building. That's the building. Six Hellfire missiles later.
Today, these soldiers are patrolling the area with Iraqi army forces. They're searching homes for weapons in the hopes of cutting down on the increasing number of deadly attacks against both coalition and Iraqi forces. Cammie McCormick, CBS News, Baritz, Indiala Province.
Big ruling for big tobacco today, actually in favor of all big corporate interests. The justice is tossing out a $79-plus million punitive damage award to the widow of a longtime smoker. CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
Corporate defendants in other cases now will be able to point to this ruling when they try to cut or limit punitive damage awards. So this is no small matter. What it really does is give trial judges and lower appeals courts more guidance than before in determining when a damage award is simply too high.
JetBlue wants to make up, wrapping its apologies in a sort of traveler's bill of rights. CBS's Dan Raviv explains.
That name borrowed from consumer groups that have been demanding a bill of rights for passengers. The JetBlue version is mainly discount vouchers for future flights. $25 if you're half an hour late. At 3 hours, $100.
In 5 hours, we get you off the airplane.
David Neeleman, JetBlue's chief executive, vowing no more being stranded on a plane for 11 hours on the runway. One man at Pittsburgh's airport has sympathy.
That was unfortunate. The weather had to be so bad, but I think they're going to get things back in order.
JetBlue speaks of a painful lesson. The vouchers and other changes will cost around $30 million. Dan Raviv, CBS News, Washington.
It's Tuesday. You know where Brittany is?
She just checked into a rehab facility in California. The good news is she's finally listening to her mother, who was urging her to do this for a long time.
People Magazine's Larry Sutton talking about Britney Spears in rehab at an undisclosed location. This is CBS News.
The following is a paid commercial message.
It's estimated that over 200 million people in the U.S. suffer from herpes-caused cold sores. There are many products on the market today. Relieve One-Day Cold Sore Symptom Treatment is excellent because it relieves cold sore symptoms in just a day. Pain eases in minutes and other symptoms resolve in just 24 hours. Relieve is non-toxic, comprised of botanical extracts, and is 100% guaranteed. Millions of sufferers have found that Relieve works best for them. Only you can determine that Relieve is best for you. You can now buy Relieve at most major stores.
My name is Leslie, and I've been smoke-free for 6.5 months.
Quitting smoking is hard, but millions of people have succeeded.
My name is Brad, and I've been smoke-free for 15 months now.
If you decide to quit smoking, visit Quit Assist, a free resource that links you to a wealth of expert quitting information, including websites, guides, quit lines, and more. It could help you find your own way to success.
My name is Etta, and I have been smoke-free for 4 years.
Quit Assist, a free information resource. Log on at philipmorrisusa.com.
Another record close for the Dow today, up 19 points, finishing at 12,786. While a lot of the country still has snow, wildfires, and the fatalities they bring, a big concern in the Pacific Northwest.
The numbers are steadily increasing. Wildfires killed 24 firefighters last year, double the number in 2005, and six more than the average of the past 10 years. Expert on wildfire fatalities, Dick Mangan, blames increased job pressure to save homes.
There's going to be more of a tendency to look very hard at the fire fighter safety and say, I'm going to let this home burn down and get it rebuilt rather than put my people at risk.
Critics blame increasing statistics on a policy that sends more troops into the most dangerous fires. Stephen Kaufman, CBS News, Spokane.
A couple of brothers who shared a home in Michigan killed in a head-on traffic collision with each other. Jesse and James West killed near Paw Paw Township. Police say they've never seen anything quite like it. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Tiger Balm presents football superstar Jerry Rice.
Foxtrot.
I can't believe I'm dancing with Jerry Rice.
I can't believe dancing is as hard as playing wide receiver.
Tango.
I'm sorry.
You okay?
Yeah. How do you manage all the aches and pain?
Tiger Balm.
Really?
Tiger Balm works fast and lasts a long time.
Samba.
Whoa. Oh, sorry. I'm such a klutz.
Maybe we should stop.
No, just get me some Tiger Balm.
You sure?
Just get me the Tiger Balm.
If you suffer from aches and pains, go for the balm. Tiger Balm. Now in a convenient, easy-to-apply patch. At drugstores, mass discount stores, supermarkets, and health food stores everywhere.
What's the worst thing about buying a used car? Could it be the uncertainty of not knowing what you're really getting? Bingo. Now I have an answer. Honda Certified Used Cars. They're well-maintained, late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then is backed with a 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty from the original in-service date and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. Did the comfort level just go up in here? Hey, it may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for limited warranty details.
B. Collins.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, live from the left coast of these United States. We're live, unscripted, unrehearsed. This is a telephone talk show, and we have a loose idea of what's going to happen over the next 3 hours. You could change the course of events with your phone call, toll-free to 888-5-PETER-B. Want to give a shout-out to the people along the Gulf Coast, and particularly in New Orleans. It's Fat Tuesday.
I've been in the right place, but it must have been the wrong time. Did the right thing, but I must have used the wrong line. I've been on the right trail, but I must have used the wrong car. Hit us in a bad place, and I wonder what's good for.
That's Mac Rebenack, also known as Dr. John, the night tripper.
My head is in a bad place.
I'm sure the booze is flowing, the beads are flying, and things are getting lively in the French Quarter just about now.
Up in my mind.
On the Peter B. Collins Show today, first up, we're going to take a look at the president's health care proposals with Grace Marie Turner. She met at the White House with President Bush earlier today. Also on today's program, David Barsamian, the author of a new book called Targeting Iran, will join us. He's just back from Iran. He's also the host of Alternative Radio on the web at alternativeradio.org. Cliff Schechter, who runs the website The Real McCain, is going to be with us about an hour from now. Jason Leopold will check in as the Scooter Libby trial in Washington heads into final arguments. Some of them started today. Case should go to the jury within the next 24 or 36 hours. And Melanie Sloan returns from CRU, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Last week, she profiled some of the 25 most corrupt officials of the Bush administration, and the very next day, one of them was featured in a breaking investigation, Stephen Griles from the Department of Interior. We'll detail that later for you. And also, take your phone calls in the Free Speech Zone in our third and final hour. You know how it works. You can call in at any time, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Or you can drop me an email anytime, peter@peterbcollins.com. Joining us now is Grace Marie Turner. She's president of the Galen Institute. And you can get more information on that group at the website galen.org. Grace Marie Turner, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Peter, a pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
Nice to talk with you. Tell us a little bit about your background. I Googled you as much as I could, and there's a mountain of information about Grace Marie Turner when you Google that name. But you've been involved in health policy issues for, well, at least 10 years.
And not only that, but I got married in 2001, so I also have another alias, Grace Marie Arnett, which is as much more information before that. But we think Galen Institute is a think tank that specializes in healthcare, and we particularly specialize in ideas to try to energize the private market, that we think that this country has a responsibility to get this right. How do we get every American covered by health insurance while we still have a vibrant free market that innovates and that really is focused on the consumer, not on complying with government bureaucracies and all the rationing that we see in a lot of other countries with government-run healthcare systems?
Mm-hmm. And you had a meeting at the White House today with the president and with the heads of a number of the health insurance companies. Is that right?
We did, and I think the reason I was invited, it was because the ideas that the president has proposed in his State of the Union address and his budget for health reform were really based on a lot of the work that we have been doing over the last 15 years to talk about how do you get a more equal market for people to purchase health insurance so that we have a level playing field. Health insurance can be portable, people can take it with them from job to job, and mostly begin to have the market respond with more affordable health insurance choices for people. And the president, in fact, at this meeting today, said, you know, that he really credited us with a lot of the ideas that are the basis of his proposal.
Mm-hmm. Now, unlike Dick Cheney's Energy Task Force, this was not a secret meeting, and the other individuals there are publicly named?
Oh, yes, absolutely. They're the CEOs of major insurance companies. Aetna was there, Assurant Health, State Mutual of Omaha, WellPoint folks, people, eHealth Insurance, a California company. A number of major insurance companies were represented because the president wanted basically to tell them, we need you to be more engaged and to help us build the market for individually purchased health insurance. The president wants to give everybody in the country the opportunity to get a generous standard deduction for purchasing health insurance, $15,000 a year for a family, off the top of your income if you purchase health insurance. And the president's saying, but people need some place to go. So he brought these insurance companies in to say, help me out here. What are you going to do to try to help people to have more affordable options and more affordable choices that are out there right now? So it was a really good discussion. It was a private meeting in the Roosevelt Room right outside the Oval Office, but then, of course, they brought the cameras in at the end, and the president made a short statement, which is on the White House website, and actually a short video as well.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of were any proposals tendered by these health insurance industry executives? Did they talk about ways that they might reduce their costs or make, reduce the paperwork quotient, which is a major cost center in their processes?
Absolutely. We didn't talk so much about the paperwork, but there was a lot of talk about the state regulations and mandates that drive up the cost of health insurance. Basically, in a lot of states, you have to buy the equivalent in health insurance of a fully loaded Lexus, or you can't buy anything. And when a lot of people could really only afford a mid-size, equivalent of a mid-size compact. And what the president is saying is that we need to have the ability for people to buy health insurance policies that are not so weighted down with these expensive mandates and regulations that basically to make the policies prohibitively expensive. Mm-hmm. The average job-based policy in the United States right now for a family of four is $11,500 a year. And that is just, it's an astronomical number, and especially for somebody who's making $20,000 or $30,000 a year, there's just absolutely no way they can afford health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So the president's trying to do several things to put some new money on the table with generous tax deductions, encouraging the states to use some of the money that they could otherwise get from the federal government to pay for uncompensated care, to use that to help people purchase private health insurance. And then HHS Secretary Leavitt was also at the meeting, and he's talking about all the work that he's doing with different governors to get them to try to change the rules. Most of the health insurance is run by state rules, not federal rules. And the states really need to get with the program and realize that all of their do-good efforts to try to make health insurance perfect is really making it very difficult for millions of people to afford it. So there's a lot of discussion about why health insurance is so expensive.
We're talking with Grace Marie Turner. She's president of the Galen Institute. As you've heard, she and leaders of the health insurance industry met with President Bush at the White House today. If you have a comment or a question, you can call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Grace Marie Turner, do you think that every American has a right to health coverage and access to health care?
Well, you know, I think we've sort of already made that decision in this country, because any American, anyone, American or not actually, citizen or not, can show up in a hospital emergency room, and by federal statute, the hospital is required to stabilize and treat the patient.
Mm-hmm.
So we've sort of made a pact, I think, in this country that we're all entitled to health care. Now, are we all entitled to health insurance? That's really the question, I think. And a lot of the proposals that we're starting to see from the 2008 presidential candidate say that we've got to get to universal coverage in this country so that everybody has health insurance. Many of the proposals would expand government health insurance. And one of the things the president talked about today, he said, I just don't think that's the way to go. In a country as diverse as this one is, to have people under one government-run health care program is just not going to work. He said we've got to figure out how to energize and revitalize the private market for health insurance.
Well, and I disagree with the president entirely. I believe that we have flirted with the for-profit delivery of health care services in this country. It's led to the escalation of costs and insurance. And as you just pointed out, the average family has to pay $11,000 now to cover a family of four. And I really think, frankly, that the very people who met with the president today, and I'm not including you, are part of the problem. And that the escalation of costs that we've seen over the last 6 years, is largely driving the profits of the insurance companies and the big HMOs.
Well,
and I think that until we recognize that everyone has a right not just to go to the emergency room, but to have basic health care and health insurance in this country, as long as we're looking to these industries for solutions, the solutions are going to be higher costs and fewer Americans with that access.
Well, I think there's so much blame to go around in what's wrong with our health sector. But when you look at the economy, with 1/6 of our entire economy is in the health sector. That means that, you know, 15% that we are spending on one way or another in health care. And yet, very few people in this country have the vaguest idea how much their health insurance costs, how much of the full prices of a doctor's visit, and Lord only knows the full price of a surgical procedure. So when you have everybody feeling that they're spending somebody else's money, whether they're in a public program, whether they're in private insurance, whether they have a company plan or their own, they think, oh, well, my insurance will pay. We all pay. And until we begin to inject more consumer power in the health sector, I think that trying to figure out who's to blame is just really going to be a big circle with everybody pointing their finger at somebody else.
All right, we got to take a break. Grace Marie Turner is our guest, president of the Galen Institute. We'll go to the phones in the next segment. We'll continue our conversation right after a short break here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Are you tired of hearing no when applying for a home loan? Is your credit shot due to late payments, bankruptcy, or recent foreclosure? Do you need help purchasing a home or refinancing your existing home? Well, now there is help. Every Saturday and Sunday morning from 7 to 8 here on KRXA 540 AM, listen live to national radio host Ken Michaels of Mortgage Makeovers as he doles out simple answers in plain English to your mortgage and finance questions.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Show continues 21 minutes past the hour. My guest is Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute. They're on the web at G-A-L-E-N, galen.org. We're talking about the president's proposal. She was there at the White House for a meeting today. It follows on his comments in the State of the Union message and some proposals to try to expand health insurance coverage through taxing the benefits of those who receive employer-paid health care benefits, a declining group in this country, and offsetting that with a standard deduction for each family of about $15,000 that would be used to absorb or reduce the taxability of the cost of the employee's contributions to health care, or in the case of a self-employed person, it would help reduce the out-of-pocket cost of that person. And Grace Marie Turner, I again respectfully disagree with the president, and I think you in this case, because I believe that we've run our course with a capitalist profit approach to delivery of health care services and health insurance. And it hasn't been successful. We now have the largest number, 47 million Americans don't have coverage, and it's spiraling more and more out of their reach. And that's despite the dramatic shift to of the burden of health insurance coverage to the employee over the last 5 or 6 years. How do you believe that more of the same will correct the inefficiencies in the system and deliver health care to every American at a reasonable cost?
Well, Peter, I think we really haven't tried a market for private health insurance in this country. That we really haven't. The one force that we've never really engaged is the consumer. The
the consumers have been pawns in the system, with insurance companies working with employers or working with government, and consumers have had very little power and authority to go out there to find and demand good value and a better deal in health insurance. So until we really try...
Well, it's because we're locked into the health insurance providers, the few that are offering services, and we don't have that choice. You know, I can't choose my doctor under the HMO program I have right now.
So the kind of
consumer power that you talk about, I think, is somewhat mythical.
Well, and that's because insurance is so tied to the workplace in this country that you're either forced into the kind of insurance that your state insurance regulator says you can have or that your employer says that you can have. And we've really never had a market in which people are able to go out and say, I have this money in my pocket, and I want a policy I can afford that's going to take care of my family, and that this is the network that I want. We have not had this much more vibrant market for individually purchased health insurance, and that's what the president's plan would do. He really wouldn't tax health insurance for people who are working. 80% of those that currently have health insurance would get a tax cut with his plan. And everybody else wouldn't have to pay any extra taxes if they keep the full cost of their health insurance policy under $15,000, which is a pretty high cap. But if we had an army of consumers out there shopping for good policies, then I think we could see whether or not we could make a market for health insurance work. That doesn't mean that when somebody's wheeled into an emergency room on a gurney that the doctor's going to look over him and say, I see that you have an individual policy. I'd really like to do a CAT scan, but maybe you can only afford an X-ray. No. What you want is good insurance coverage if you do wind up on a gurney in a hospital. And you've chosen that health insurance with your family, making deliberate decisions, and very likely a multi-year policy. So you don't have to make a new decision every year. You've got good, stable insurance coverage. And one of the reasons you've got 47 million people without health insurance is they're losing their health insurance when they lose their jobs. What we want is people to be able to have health insurance that they own and that they control, and they're making the decision that they want covered.
I'm sorry to cut in, but I've got a full board of calls. I want to take as many people as we can here. Let's talk to Deborah in Phoenix. Welcome, Deborah. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Grace Marie Turner.
Hello. Well, I'm very interested in what you're talking about, but it's whatever we go with as far as health insurance, I don't think it will completely succeed if we also don't address the area of prevention.
Oh, yeah.
For example, I have an excellent policy through my school district, and finally it covers chiropractic costs. But I go to a medical doctor. He has 3 medical degrees, and he treats me with homeopathic medicine. I've had antibiotics one time in 10 years, and yet my insurance company will not cover his fees. Now, that's ridiculous. I have saved the insurance company tens of thousands of dollars because I practice more preventive medicine. Was there any discussion in your conference with the president about that?
You know, the White House is really focused on this and wondering how do we engage people more in individual responsibility and wanting to take better care of their health and having the incentives to do that. And one of the tools we have now are health savings accounts, where the preventive care can be part of your insurance contract. And that's actually showing that people are more likely to use preventive services with those HSAs.
Right. Okay, that's all I had to say.
All right, thanks for the call. Now to Joe in Gilbert, Arizona. Go ahead, Joe.
Hello, Peter. Interesting show. I've got a question for your guest, or a subject that I'd like to hear her talk about, regarding something I rarely hear discussed whenever this subject is brought up on the radio, and that is people who aren't quite insurable. Myself, for instance, I run a small business because my job was outsourced to China years ago, so I started a small business, and I'm earning enough money to buy insurance policy for my wife and one for my teen daughter, but just because I am slightly over the line on the LDL cholesterol, I'm uninsurable with three different companies I went to. So okay. I have no health care insurance.
All right, Joe, I only have 20 seconds. A quick response, please, Marie, Grace Marie.
Well, actually, one of the things we did discuss today was the need for high-risk pools, but I think it's really a shame that with something as minor as high cholesterol that you can't get health insurance. That's very short-sighted, I think, on the insurance company's part.
Grace Marie, I'm sorry, I'm out of time. I can't stop the break coming up. We'll talk again. Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute. Thanks for joining us on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
There was this man who almost learned to walk at a rehab center that almost got built by people who almost gave. Almost gave. How good is almost giving? About as good as almost walking. As generous a nation as we are, sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. Don't almost give. Give. Visit our website at don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
The Philly Sunshine Show.
Philly Sunshine Show.
With P-Lar. With P-Lar.
Sunday at 3 o'clock, we're going to be doing something new, something different, or we'll do the same old thing, take your phone calls. One thing we know for sure, I'll have something to say. What? I don't know. I never know until I've said it. Find out what's the next thing to come out of my mouth.
The Philly Sunshine Show with P-Lar.
Sundays from 3 to 5. 3 to 5.
On AM 540. KRXA.
Knobs. We're going to have to do something, Charlie. Try pushing that button now. No? How about that one?
Oh, careful. You push the wrong button and Bush will launch an attack on Iran. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Now that was a presidential sound check, and it was a joke. Ronald Reagan did not actually push the button and launch an attack on Russia that began in 5 minutes. But many of us are concerned that on a morning in the new, not too distant future, that we will wake up to the news that the United States has begun a military assault on Iran. Yesterday on this program, we went to London to talk to Dan Plesh, who published a very powerful article in the New Statesman yesterday about American preparations for invading Iran and a massive assault that could hit at least 10,000 targets in a single raid. That appears to be the spin of America's capability. To get another view, we turn to David Barsamian. He has a book coming out called Targeting Iran. He just returned from a visit to that nation, and he's the host of Alternative Radio. You can find him on his website, alternativeradio.org. David, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter B. Thanks. Great to be on.
Nice to talk with you, sir. Let me not poison your mind or, you know, frame this in a way that you're not comfortable with. Tell me about your recent visit to Iran and what they are concerned about in terms of America's intentions.
Well, it was my first visit to the country in more than 30 years. The last time I was there was when it was a monarchy and it was ruled by the Shah, who was a close U.S. ally. He was overthrown in the 1979 Islamic Revolution. The 28th anniversary of that revolution was last Sunday.
Right.
About a million people turned out in Tehran as well as in cities all across Iran to mark that anniversary. I speak some Farsi enough to get along and to, you know, have some conversations with people and figure out what's on their minds. Almost every single person I met, of course, asked me whether the United States is going to bomb Iran and when that might happen and what the targets might be, as if I were an expert on U.S. military strategy. People are very concerned. They're very worried. You can imagine Bangladesh or Chad or some other powerhouse nation located two major aircraft carrier battle groups right off your coast, and you had a vice president and a president making very belligerent and bellicose remarks about your country, that you would have cause for concern. And so Iranians are worried. They're completely surrounded by the Americans. As you know, if you just look at the map, the American army is in Afghanistan, the American army is in Iraq, the American Navy is in the Persian Gulf, the American Air Force is in Turkey. They are surrounded on all sides by U.S. military. So the idea that Iran poses some kind of military threat to the United States, as Cheney has suggested, using the terms growing threat, gee, it sounds an awful lot like the language used around Iraq, that is really stretches credulity.
Mm-hmm. Great and gathering threat was the language used for Iraq.
Exactly. And so people are very worried. Iran is a country of 70 million people. They are 90% Shia, which is the major religion of the country. And, of course, neighboring Iraq is also a Shia majority state. So they have close relations with the Iraqis. Iraq has the site of the two most important pilgrimage shrines for Shias everywhere in the world, but particularly for Iranian Shias. That's the shrine of Imam Ali at Najaf and mm-hmm. the shrine of Imam Hussein at Karbala. And now the Bush administration, you know, it's gone from WMDs to IEDs to now EFPs. Is that on your radar?
Yes, it is.
EFPs are explosively formed penetrators.
Mm-hmm.
So the Iranian government is being accused at the highest levels, the initial comment was, of organizing this, supplying it to various groups inside of Iraq, and these bombs have supposedly killed 170 U.S. Troops in Iraq. Of course, if they weren't in Iraq, they wouldn't be getting killed.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like the Bush administration is looking for causes belli. They're looking for a reason to launch an attack, whether it will be, some kind of fingerprints on a bomb or captured, Iranian soldier or something like that. We have to be, I think, really cautious in the coming period because it looks like they're lining up for an attack.
Indeed. I share your concern, and we have been covering this on this program almost on a daily basis since last summer as our sources, and some of them are very well known, like Seymour Hersh, have indicated that, we are building this capability, and we have seen the rhetoric ratcheted up.
Indeed,
and
I'm glad you actually had Dan Plesh on yesterday, who had that article in the New Statesman in Britain. It looks like the Brits are distancing themselves from this operation because there have been all kinds of leaks in the British press, including the state, controlled BBC News, which is not exactly a left-wing source of information. They have yesterday today have revealed the extent with specifics about the targets selected and what the operation may entail. It looks like a major bombing campaign. The U.S. Air Force is not overextended, unlike the ground forces, and so this would be relatively painless for the United States to launch cruise missiles, Tomahawks, and then B-2 and B-52 attacks. This will have, I don't want to overstate it, but I think this will set off a chain of events that could, it's hard to describe. I mean, I'm going to use words like catastrophic, not just a huge spike in the price of oil, but this will put the troops in Afghanistan and Iraq at enormous risk because it's there that Iran has leverage. It's there that Iran has allies. Most of the elements in the Iraqi government in Baghdad owe their allegiance to Tehran. The Skiri, the Supreme Council for Islamic Revolution in Iraq, the Dawa Party, the Badr Brigade, B-A-D-R, and other militias literally were invented in Tehran during the 1980s, during the war with Iraq, when a lot of those Shias fled to neighboring Iran, where they sought refuge.
Mm-hmm.
So Iran has a lot of leverage, and this could really spin out of control.
One of the sources we've consulted on a regular basis, David Barsamian, is a gentleman named Sam Gardner. He is a retired Air Force colonel here in the United States. And he posted an item today. People can find it at informationclearinghouse.info on the web. And he has had very good sources and very good information. So far, I haven't found him to be inaccurate in any respect. And he reports that there was an incident that occurred inside Iran over the past week, and that an explosive device, not necessarily the kind of IED that we're seeing in Iraq, killed 11 and injured 31 members of the Revolutionary Guard, and this incident occurred near a school. And this area in Iran is Sistan Baluchistan, near the borders of Afghanistan and Pakistan. And many have said this is the area where the MEK have been operating. And one of our reporters, Larissa Alexandrovna of Raw Story, has reported that the MEK was basically hired by the United States as mercenaries to go into Iran. And Sam Gardner raises this issue, saying that at this particular incident, and I don't have an exact geographic location in his dispatch, that information was found that linked it to the United States. Now, he argues that this, if this was actually a covert operation by the U.S., that you would never find any kind of markings that could be linked back to the U.S. Our people are allegedly better than that. But he said that he can't tell if this is a false flag operation devised by Iran or a false flag operation on the part of the United States. But it's the kind of incident that could spiral out of control, causing each side to overreact.
Well, you refer to the MEK, that's the Mujahideen al-Khalq,
right.
in Farsi. It means people's organization. This has been labeled a terrorist formation, incidentally, by the State Department.
That's
so it's,
correct.
It's quite ironic that some elements of the Bush administration is actually working with the MEK.
Well, and I'll just offer this domestic analogy. It would be like hiring the Crips or the Bloods to investigate gang activity in South Central Los Angeles.
It's a good analogy. The area, the geographical area that you're talking about, I'm familiar with. It's in Zahedan, which is in the southeastern quadrant of Iran, bordering Pakistan. It's in the, Sistan, Baluchistan is the name of the province.
Mm-hmm.
Across the border in Baluchistan, there is a uprising that's been going on for many years against the Pakistani government. There have been reports that Al-Qaeda is operating in that part of Pakistan as well as in the north and in the western parts. It's quite possible that this was, as Gardner suggests, some kind of black operation. It seems on the surface of it that it is a terrorist attack. And should be denounced by George W. Bush and the White House, who are concerned about acts of international terrorism, particularly if it was a cross-border raid. The Mujahideen-e-Khalq had been operating inside of Iraq during the Saddam Hussein period. They had an enclave there, and they were launching raids into Iran for many, many years. And it's not clear right now what exactly their status is. So I'm interested to hear Sam Gardner's analysis of that. He's very well respected. He gives, seminars and lectures to military groups, and he's a good source of information.
He is. Yes, he's taught at the various military war colleges, and he's also participated in war games, the planning of military actions against Iran, as recently as a couple of years ago. So he's well connected, and he does stipulate that most of his reporting is from open sources, not from confidential background sources or people who are in the military and unable to speak publicly. But I think he does have some of those insider sources as well. David, we're going to take a break and continue in just a moment. David Barsamian is with us. His new book is coming out later this year called Targeting Iran. We'll ask him about that as we continue. And if you have a question or comment, there's room for your call right now, toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 1-38-573-8372, and then Matt answers the phone. It's that simple. More straight ahead, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Here's what people are saying about the hottest new show in town.
Joe, thank you so much for being here.
I want to wish you the best of luck with this. I think it's a great service.
Hey, drink up, all you people.
12-Step Talk Uncensored, where we take the shame and blame out of addiction. Join me, Sheila Gale, Saturday afternoons, 4 to 5. 12-Step Talk Uncensored. It's about time.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Vote means that our investigation turned up nothing.
Because somebody testifies by him before a grand jury doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women can marry.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. Got to catapult the propaganda.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Lines available if you'd like to talk with me and David Barsamian about Iran. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Dick Cheney left on a secret trip to Asia. I don't know how secret it is, but I don't know exactly where he's going. David Barsamian, you have a new book coming out called Targeting Iran. When's it due? And give us a sketch.
Yeah, well, it's going to be published by City Lights Books in San Francisco. And it will consist of an essay by me and contributions from Noam Chomsky, the well-known dissident intellectual at MIT, as well as two really important Iranian-American scholars and activists, Ervant Abrahamian and Nahid Muzaffari. It's designed to give a general overview of Iran and the political situation inside the country, as well as U.S. foreign policy toward Iran.
Okay, I can't wait. Due date is?
Well, it'll probably be out as early as April 15th, so
okay.
Fairly soon.
Well, then we're going to
7 weeks.
We're going to put it on our calendar, and we'll be back at you when the book is out and have you on for a full hour to talk about it.
That'll be great.
Great.
I think it's really important to get information out about Iran. You know, one thing I want to mention is that there's a very significant movement for reform inside of Iran. It's not just so-called hardliners like Ahmadinejad, hosting Holocaust conferences. There are also there's a very serious and sophisticated movement to try and democratize the country and to take power away from the mullahs. But what the Bush administration rhetoric and action has done is virtually silence all of these voices.
Oh, David, you lefties are all alike. You don't see the brilliance of the policy that we use so effectively against Castro, and now we're using it elsewhere.
I know. I confess to being very weak in that regard.
What I'm saying, hopefully in an ironic way, is that we don't get it. When we take people and isolate them, we push them into the arms of our enemies, or we help them find new allies against us.
And that's precisely what's happening. There is a movement there, but people are rallying around the flag. They're rallying around the regime. Ahmadinejad is telling the Iranians, hey, look, we're surrounded by U.S. forces. We may be attacked at any moment, and, you have to support the country.
Yeah. Brian in Manchester, New Hampshire, thanks for your call today. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen. I'd like to say that what I was thinking about it, we're still in the middle of this Iraq quagmire, and they want to do this. What Iraq needs is a great leader on the level of a Kemal Ataturk of Turkey, the gentleman who died in 1938. He founder of the modern Turkey, Republic of Turkey. But in Iran, what they had in 1953 was a democratically elected, modernizing man. I would say he even surpassed Kemal Ataturk in greatness Mossadegh in Iran, and he was overthrown. There's a book, All the Shah's Men, by Mr. Kinzer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you both are familiar with it. And there's absolutely no moral standing that we have in our policy towards Iran to be speaking about a democratic Iran or a secular Iran or any of this nonsense. They're doing that themselves anyways, the Iranian people. They're moving in that direction themselves. They're progressing. Any interference by the world's sole remaining superpower will destroy that.
Well, but the one thing we can hope for, Brian, and this is not something we have earned or deserve, but
no.
Demographically, most of the citizens
yep.
of Iran
yes.
Have no knowledge of the Shah.
Yes.
He preceded them, and
very
so
young country.
They know him through history, but
yes.
you know, not through any of their own personal experience. And likewise, we can hope that their recollection starts with the takeover of the embassy, the Iranian Revolution, and not with the way we supported the Shah and his ruthless SAVAK, the secret police that, in collusion with the CIA, terrorized the citizenry there throughout the reign of the Shah.
I don't think it means, Peter, that just because they're a younger population, they don't want to go through the Shah or pro-Western hack government experience once again. And I think that, does David see any kind of, the international community, I don't think they see any moral grounds or any real-world logistical reason for our doing this to Iran. Does David see any possible reason why, other than empire building mm-hmm. and oil?
Good question. Let's put it to David. Go ahead, David.
Well, I think this has a lot to do with payback for 1978-1979. The United States has never accepted the Islamic Revolution. Its overthrow of the Shah was a major blow to U.S. hegemony in the Middle East. The Shah was the ally of the United States. He spent billions and billions of dollars purchasing U.S. weaponry, and he was the most reliable satrap that they had in the region. And combined with the hostage crisis, it has left a lot of the neocons with a bitter taste in their mouth. I like the comments that the gentleman from Manchester made, particularly about Mohammad Mossadegh,
mm-hmm.
who was overthrown in 1953, a very moderate, forward-looking, democratic leader who was popularly elected by the Iranian people. He was overthrown in a coup d'etat. That is living history in Iran today. People talk about it all the time, and they cite it as an example of, you know, you can't trust the Americans. You know, we
mm-hmm.
did have an experiment with democracy. Look what happened to us.
Well, we also have the Iran-Contra affair, where we thought that we could snooker the Iranians into paying inflated prices for replacement parts, and we also have the October surprise, the side deal that Bill Casey made to hold the hostages until Reagan's inauguration day. And we've revealed ourselves to the Iranians, and they don't forget about a lot of these things. Jake?
Yes, and another important point, and the caller alluded to it, Iran is a very young country. 70% of its 70 million people are under the age of 30.
Mm-hmm.
So they have no memory of the Shah. They have no memory of the Islamic Revolution. They are very highly educated. They're very interested in, you know, they're sorting out their own future without U.S. interference, without military intervention. And more than one student said to me, you know, we're not that interested in Holocaust conferences, and we wish the government would provide us with jobs and affordable housing and lower food prices. Ahmadinejad was elected president of Iran in June of 2005 on an economic platform
right.
of reform. He was going to deliver more services.
David, let me stop you there. I want to sneak in a call from Jake before we run out of time here. Jake in Arcata, go ahead.
Hey, Peter. In a series of recent articles by Seymour Hersh, he cited inside sources that the military is not only poised to strike Iran, but the Air Force is going to use tactical nuclear weapons. I'd like to know what David's heard about this, and specifically what the Iranians that he's had discussions with, what they've heard about this possibility.
Okay, good.
David? Hirsch indeed has been reporting on that possibility. I think it would have absolutely disastrous consequences, from a moral level alone. I mean, for the United States to use nuclear weapons, the idea that these smart nukes are going to be limited in the damage they cause.
Well, and not only that, the irony that we'd have to live with, that we used a nuke to prevent them from getting a nuke.
Precisely. So there have been a lot of reports. Iranians are very concerned about the possibility of an attack on their country, and they feel they're being held to a very high standard that Pakistan, India, and Israel, all of whom have weapons of mass destruction, none of whom are signatories to the nuclear non-proliferation treaty, mm-hmm. They are being held to very high standards, different standards than from those countries. So that's part of the kind of the rhetoric that's going on there.
David, thank you for joining us today. We'll talk again. David Barsamian, look for his book coming out in April, Targeting Iran. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We want to welcome Assemblywoman Ana Caballero back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing terrific. Thank you very much for the invitation.
We are so glad to have you on. We were at the victory party for you, and you were so happy, and rightfully so.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, right up until you asked me to leave the party. You and Lucy, that was it.
Well, it was the dancing on the table that got you. The TV cameras were there. It just didn't look right.
So. I got you.
The show on KRXA 540 AM.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The president's biggest ally set to start pulling troops out of the war zone.
No U.S. objections to a partial British withdrawal from Iraq. I'm Mark Noller at the White House.
A big win for big tobacco.
The Supreme Court says $80 million is too much for the life of one smoker. I'm Howard Arenstein in Washington.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Peter King. British Prime Minister Tony Blair is set to announce the pullout of about 1,500 troops from Iraq, reportedly in the next few weeks. Retired Army Colonel Jeff McCausland is a CBS News military consultant.
There's about 8,000 British forces still in and around Basra area. A reduction of 1,500 would be roughly slightly less than a quarter of the force there. There's some talk they might reduce by an additional 3,000 by the end of the current calendar year, which would cut the size of the British force in half.
Blair has been the president's biggest supporter during the war. CBS News White House correspondent Mark Noller has reaction.
To hear the White House tell it the planned withdrawal of some British troops is a sign of success in Iraq. An official says it shows that the situation in southern Iraq, where British troops are deployed, has improved well enough to let Iraqi forces take over. The official says that's exactly what the U.S. hopes will happen in other parts of the country. The decision comes as no surprise. We're told President Bush discussed the matter earlier in the day in a secure video hookup with British Prime Minister Blair.
Now this.
Running out of ink? Run into Office Depot. With over 500 ink, toner, and fax supplies guaranteed in-store and thousands more online, Office Depot has what you need at unbeatable prices. Save more by recycling empty ink and toner cartridges. When you think ink, let Office Depot lend you a hand. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Whoa, Office Depot!
See store for details.
Buying a used car can be filled with pitfalls, but there's one sure way to avoid stumbling. Buy a Honda-certified used car. Only well-maintained late-model Hondas are eligible. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection and then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. Plus now, you can get low APR financing on all certified used Honda Odyssey and Pilot models. Feeling a little more sure-footed, aren't we? Honda certified used cars. Hey, it may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
The Supreme Court has tossed out a huge damage award to a woman who sued cigarette maker Philip Morris after her husband's death from cancer. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein is in Washington.
In a 5-4 vote, the Supreme Court set a $79.5 million award to the widow of a Marlboro smoker is excessive, and Quentin Riegel, who represents manufacturers, is pleased.
It's a significant improvement in the law because it prevents an individual plaintiff from converting a single case into kind of a class action case.
But Stanton Glantz, a tobacco industry critic, says the cigarette company got off easy.
It's a license. Basically, effective immunity for the tobacco companies.
The Supreme Court said Philip Morris can only be punished for the smoker who brought the case. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Jesse Williams died of cancer 9 years ago after 45 years as a two-pack-a-day smoker. Closing arguments today in the trial of former vice presidential aide Scooter Libby. Here's CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato.
Closing arguments got personal when prosecutor Peter Zeidenberg reminded jurors of what defense lawyer Ted Wells told them when the case opened, that there was a White House conspiracy to make Libby a sacrificial lamb. Did you hear any evidence about a conspiracy to scapegoat Mr. Libby, he asked, and then added, there was no such evidence. When Wells got his turn, he argued Libby believed he was being sacrificed, was, quote, ticked off, and sought help from Vice President Cheney. In Wells' words, only an innocent person would do that.
It's been a week since the start of the JetBlue meltdown, and while the carrier is still not quite back up to speed, its chairman says he has a plan. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has some of the details.
Some JetBlue passengers want to move on.
I just want an apology.
But JetBlue has a reputation to repair, now unveiling a customer bill of rights, discount vouchers for delays starting with $25 for a 30-minute delay.
In 3 hours, we're going to pay a $100 voucher, even if it's our fault or if it's not our fault.
David Neelman, JetBlue's chief executive, pledging at 5 hours you'll be off the plane with a voucher for the full flight cost. Why don't passengers get cash? David Stempler of the Air Travelers Association.
Giving out coupons ensures that they come back to your airline and give them a second chance.
Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
Drug maker Merck says it's suspending its campaign to make the inoculation of adolescent girls with its new cervical cancer vaccine mandatory for school attendance. Doctors and parents have criticized the effort. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
The following is a paid commercial message.
It's estimated that over 200 million people in the U.S. suffer from herpes-caused cold sores. There are many products on the market today. Relieve One-Day Cold Sores Symptom Treatment is excellent because it relieves cold sore symptoms in just a day. Pain eases in minutes, and other symptoms resolve in just 24 hours. Relieve is non-toxic, comprised of botanical extracts, and is 100% guaranteed. Millions of sufferers have found that Relieve works best for them. Only you can determine that Relieve is best for you. You can now buy Relieve at most major stores.
My name is Leslie, and I've been smoke-free for 6.5 months.
Quitting smoking is hard, but millions of people have succeeded.
My name is Brad, and I've been smoke-free for 15 months now.
If you decide to quit smoking, visit QuitAssist, a free resource that links you to a wealth of expert quitting information, including websites, guides, quit lines, and more. It could help you find your own way to success.
My name is Etta, and I have been smoke-free for 4 years.
QuitAssist, a free information resource. Log on at philipmorrisusa.com.
We launch another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, the progressive talk show that nobody asked for. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Glad you're listening. Let's take a close look at Senator John McCain. Stipe in REM. He lost his religion, and apparently John McCain found it right over there in the corner. Cliff Schechter joins us. He's the operator of the website, therealmccain.com. Welcome back, Cliff.
Thank you. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing okay today. Hey, I got a line for you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to attribute it to the source, but this is a great line to describe John McCain. Straight talker, crooked walker. Is that fresh?
I like it.
Yeah.
I've been going with the double talk express myself.
Uh-huh.
You know, well, everybody's got a good line.
Straight talker, crooked walker goes to Steve Pizzo, and he blogs at newsforreal.com. And I recommend it to you today because there is a bizarre photograph of Mormons in their undergarments. And you got to check it out. It's tied into Mitt Romney's campaign, and he got a question about his religion from an evangelical conservative who said Mormons aren't Christians. And Pizzo is kind of a wag who says, well, you know, if somebody asked the question that they popped to Bill Clinton a few years back, whether he wore boxers or briefs, Mitt Romney might have to answer that he's wearing his temple garment.
You have to say a nighty.
Yeah. And it's, I guess it's a very special undergarment that protects something. I'm not sure exactly what or from what. Anyway, Cliff, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate you having me back on.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I think it's very important to tell the truth about John McCain. And on your blog over the last few days, you've had a couple of posts about our regular listener and activist in Arizona, Leonard Clark.
Right. I spoke to Leonard, great guy, and I made sure to post at The Real McCain and at my blog, which is cliffschechter.com. We also got it up at the Huffington Post, which has a lot of readers, because Leonard definitely let me know that he's going to be organizing some events. I believe he wanted to organize a rally this Saturday, and so I'm trying to do everything I can to kind of be that conduit to get folks out there in touch with him. So.
And what he's doing is under Arizona law, candidates, even federal candidates, have an option to sign an agreement before they run, which subjects them to a potential recall.
Right.
And Leonard has exercised his rights under that law. He's gathering signatures for a petition. And if they reach the goal and the petition is qualified, then I think it's optional for Senator McCain to honor his
pledge.
Responsibility. Yeah. Pledge is a good word.
You don't think he'd flip-flop on that, though, do you? He's so steadfast on everything else. I can't see where he might change his mind on an issue.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he'd probably find a way to pose it as just a group of disgruntled, dangerous lefties, and, you know, it's not representative of the entire electorate. But with that as the potential defense comment from McCain, let's talk a little bit about the activities of Republicans in Arizona in the last year or so. They've expressed their disaffection with the senior senator in a very direct way.
Yeah, well, a lot of folks on the right, particularly those that disagree with Senator McCain's immigration position, have come out, and you've really seen a grassroots. There's an article in the New York Times the other day.
Yeah.
It's made the big time. There's been a grassroots an upsurge, a surge. Not even like that, in fact, against him. And so it's really interesting to read about it. The Maricopa, I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, and I apologize.
No, I think that's right.
Okay, good. The Maricopa Republican Party is being run by those who he tried to put, and he stepped in and really tried to push some of these folks out and then install his own people, and he lost out. In fact, if I'm correct, even the head of the entire Arizona Republican Party is a guy who opposed a McCain-supported candidate.
Yeah. Well, I know we have a lot of listeners in Phoenix on KPHX, and if you happen to be a Republican who supported these efforts to squeeze Senator McCain from the Republican side, I'd love to hear from you today, and you might be able to flesh out the story a little bit for us. And if you want to correct our pronunciation of Maricopa, I think it's right, but we will defer to the local authorities. Our toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. We do accept calls from Republicans, so don't be shy. 888-573-8372. Anything else you want to add related to the Republican pushback on McCain in Arizona, Cliff?
Well, I mean, I just think that it's representative of a larger point in the country. I know some folks on the right, some of whom I've debated when I've gone on television and radio at different programs, and there are a lot of folks on the right who are very upset with McCain. They view him in much the same way I do, and many who are progressives, which is that he's a flip-flopper, frankly, and he will not stick to his position. And so if you're a conservative, there's every bit as much reason for you not to trust him as if you're a liberal or anything else. And a lot of people, I've been reading articles lately over in some of the more conservative online publications, townhall.com and some of the WorldNet Daily, that have been saying the same thing that I'm saying.
Hmm.
So it's interesting when strange bedfellow, so to speak, but there's a good reason for it.
Yeah.
We all realize that, you know, I can't trust him when he says he stands for something that I stand for, and neither can somebody on the right, for that matter.
Well, maybe this helps explain, because let me offer a caveat, that the polls for Democratic presidential contenders and Republican presidential contenders right now are hardly reliable. It's mostly name ID and doesn't really reflect whether the individual being polled would actually vote for that candidate. That said, I was surprised by this big jump shown by Rudy Giuliani, who doesn't strike me as a movement conservative who is in touch with the base of the Republican Party. And he's polling way ahead of McCain, and, you know, he has only barely announced. I don't think he's had his official launch. He's just said, yeah, he's running.
Well, yeah, and to be fair, I think that that actually is why he's where he is. It's because he has sort of barely announced, and he had, I mean, McCain and Romney have been out there for a little bit longer, and for that reason, I think people have looked over. I mean, these guys, frankly, are the Three Stooges. I mean, these three guys, it's hard to know who has changed more positions. So I think when people look at Rudy Giuliani, speaking of somebody who grew up in New York City when Rudy was the mayor there,
mm-hmm.
I think the right is going to find a lot with him and that they're not going to like very much. I can't wait till those photos of him dressed in drag start to be sent around that he used to do for a press event every year. I'm guessing those aren't going to be too popular on the right.
And will his former gay roommates, their former roommates, not formerly gay like Ted Haggard, will...
didn't go through retro boot camp like Ted Haggard for 3 weeks?
Will his former roommates campaign for him? maybe in Massachusetts.
Yeah, that should be interesting. The funny thing is, if you tell that whole story, see how many points you can get in there that might upset conservatives. Rudy Giuliani announced to the press that he was getting divorced, or he was separating from his second wife,
Donna Hanover.
Right. So she found out through the press. So, excuse me, the second wife, he was leaving her. He announced to the press, and then he went to live with his two friends who were homosexual, and he lived in an apartment with them while he was breaking up with his second wife and with his mistress, who became his third wife.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see any reason why any social conservatives would have a problem with any of that.
It's so fascinating. Now, what about McCain's latest efforts to embrace evangelicals? He seems to be really baseless, or I guess, you know, just shameless in his approach to embracing almost anybody who will return the hug.
It's amazing. It goes to what your joke you made at the beginning about losing your religion or finding it. He certainly has suddenly found his. I mean, what is it? It's Jerry Falwell one day, and then it's the Reverend Land and Hagee the next day. And we're talking about people that openly are hoping for nuclear Armageddon in the Middle East so that we can all be swept up,
mm-hmm.
Among other things. And yeah, he went and met with them, and there's Falwell is his new, I would say he's his new biblical tour guide,
mm-hmm.
taking him around to all the different places he needs to go so he can. And he didn't, you know, not only is he doing that, going to these different evangelical meetings, but he made sure to go and speak to a bunch of South Carolina high school students about abstinence, so that he could miss the vote on Iraq and the Senate. So obviously Iraq is such an important issue to Senator McCain that he thought it was more important to be talking about abstaining from marriage, from sex outside of marriage.
Well, he was setting an example. He abstained from voting so he could ask them to abstain from sex.
Right.
He also went to speak to the Religious Broadcasters Convention, where he was there with Mitt Romney, and that's where Steve Pizzo's post originates here. And Pizzo writes, the straight talker, Crooked Walker, tried to out person of faith Romney by coming out foursquare against abortion. Why? Because he explained he's a person of faith, specifically their faith, the Christian fundamentalist faith, and he wants their vote. I encourage you to read Steve Pizzo's stuff today at News for Real, because he makes a strong case that the religion of our candidates is something of more than passing interest, and that we not only need to know about it in terms of their values, but also in how religion will affect their duties if they actually are elected to serve as our president. Cliff, we're going to take a break and return. We'll go to the phones in the next segment. If you have a comment about John McCain you want to share with us, call us now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. Cliff Schechter is our guest. His website is therealmccain.com.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's a taste you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a killer affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with crumbs too. A side of couscous and a baba ganoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery.
In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today.
173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey. PG.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Good evening. Taking a look at your Central Coast traffic. Actually, this first time around, just got one accident to tell you about. Live Oak, Thurber Lane at Commercial Way. Two vehicles got into an accident there. They have been cleared over to the right-hand shoulder. CHP already on scene. No injuries in this, but do need a tow truck, and that's en route to pick that up. Highway 17, both directions through Santa Cruz Mounds, checking in, stall, and accident-free. It's also a smooth ride. Highway 1 between Monterey and Carmel. And also, looking good. No problems to report. Highway 25 from Gilroy into Hollister. This report is brought to you by Office Depot. Don't risk running out of ink and slowing down your business. Hurry into Office Depot for hundreds of ink, toner, and fax supplies, all at unbeatable prices. Let Office Depot lend you a hand. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 22 minutes after the hour. Our guest is Cliff Schechter. His website is therealmccain.com. We're talking about Arizona's senior senator. Some people say he's out there in the middle of the road.
He's trying to find me.
Well, that's not my view. I think he's a very conservative guy. And while he was more attractive in the way he presented himself in the 2000 campaign, and he did get a real good bounce from the media as Mr. Straight Talk, he really has, I think, lost a lot of ground with his embrace of George W. Bush in 2004, his all-out support for the surge in Iraq, the way he sold out on the issues related to torture and detention at Guantanamo and elsewhere. And I think that he's a man in search of his candidacy right now. Cliff, would you agree?
Yeah, I would. I would sort of say the caveat is, of course, that he has the support of the Bush machine. And that, to me, is why I believe right now the advantage is his.
Mm-hmm.
Conservatives certainly don't love him, and he would. But there is no real conservative candidate in terms of one who they all embrace. George Allen would have been that candidate, but sadly, there were different plans in the cards for him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say, looking at it right now, particularly when some of the old statements of Romney's come out and Giuliani's social liberalism, I think that McCain has gotten, you know, the very folks behind him, the very money people that put up the negative ads against him in 2000, the very people that smeared him in South Carolina, well, he's gone and hired them all.
Well, but at least they won't be able to work for somebody else and slam him again.
Oh, yeah, well, it made sense for him, certainly. So
he took him out of circulation.
That's what he did. So, I mean, I guess what I'm saying is I still, you know, he is a man in search of a candidacy, and I don't really think, well, I'm quite convinced in the research I'm doing, cause I think, as we've discussed, I'm writing a book set to come out in the fall about him, so it's not just the Real McCain website that's kind of part of it,
mm-hmm.
And I'm quite convinced through my research that he really doesn't know what he does stand for. He's changed so many times, but it doesn't really, I think it doesn't matter in the end. I think that the Bush machine and the money that's going to come in from all Bush's donors, and that will get him through.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk to Steve in Phoenix. Hey, Steve, welcome to the show today.
Hey, Peter, I was just taking a break from my pre-Libya acquittal party.
Hey, if you have a Libby acquittal party, then I'll be hoisting a glass to Tim Russert.
Well, listen, I'm a little puzzled by this. All this, it appears to me that there's a concerted effort by those on the other side, the left side, to try to stick a dagger in McCain's heart early, because they know that once that man survives the nomination, that he will barbecue Hillary Clinton.
So, Steve, you suspect a not-so-vast left-wing conspiracy?
That's not a conspiracy, because it's right out in the open.
We're all here talking.
You know, I've never seen a politician who, 5 years ago, he's the same guy now that he was. What voting issue has he flip-flopped on?
Oh, the Military Commissions Act and the whole policy of torture.
Well, that wasn't an issue that was before us 5 years ago. That's a brand new. That's something that was just presented. You guys are.
All right, then campaign
finance reform.
Hold on, Steve.
Minutes.
Hold on. Go ahead, Cliff.
Whenever you'd like me to talk, he's pulled out of his signature issue, which is campaign finance reform. The bill that used to bear his name no longer does. He's pulled back from lobbying reform, which he said he was in favor of. He opposed Bush's tax cuts 5 years ago and said that they would destroy the budget. He now supports Bush's tax cuts and wants to make them permanent. The list goes on and on.
You're saying that McCain Feingold, he wants to overturn that?
What I'm saying now is that he supported the presidential system. The next line of campaign finance reform was going to be to add to the current system, because it's out of date, that has matching funds for presidential campaigns. He now wants to basically get rid of that law, and he will not abide by it currently.
Well, that's because you can drive a truck through. I mean, you have to admit what has become of that with all these outside groups. Now, you see what they're doing now in Congress to pay for these trips? They're just having outside groups pay for them. I mean, it's a joke.
Well, you first of all, Steve, you're correct on a certain level that Congress has written some new rules, and they're very busy learning new ways to get around them.
I'm telling you.
I don't think it's happened on foreign travel where they've actually had a third party pay for it. But, for example, to get around the meal and gift ban, what they're
right.
doing is inviting lobbyists to come to the senator's skybox and buy a ticket to that. So,
yeah.
You know, they're still subsidizing the entertainment for the elected official.
Yeah, back to McCain,
yes.
And you compare him to other major candidates on his core issues. Like, they make a big deal about this abortion thing. He's been against Roe v. Wade for as long as I've known.
He didn't used to. He did not used to talk about overturning it.
In 1999, in fact, he gave a quote to the San Francisco Chronicle where he said that it should not be overturned.
Exactly. Yeah.
Hey, you doing pulling out old quotes on me, man? What's this? The Libby trial?
Hey, man.
All right,
do?
Steve. Thanks for your contrary call today. I appreciate it. Let's go to the next line here. Is this Leonard?
Hey, yes, Peter, and it sure is good to hear Cliff Schechter on there.
Leonard,
I just want to say thanks for at least putting some light on the man I term Bloody John McCain.
Mm-hmm.
I don't just say that because I'm trying to attack this guy. You guys just stated some of the main reasons. Habeas corpus, you know, Constitution basically being just a piece of paper now that doesn't have to be followed. And by the way, it's not just myself out here. I'm sitting next to my other friend here, William Crum, independent from the very conservative part of the Valley. And I would like him to say hi real quick.
You know what? I don't have time, Leonard, and I want you to give us a quick update on your rally. Is it this Saturday?
It will be this Saturday, and at 9:30 to 11, we'll be out there by Wesley Ballin Plaza. You can hear him say hello. Here's Mr. Crum. Say hello.
Hello.
Thank you very much, Mr. Crum. And thank you, Leonard. Thank you, Cliff Schechter. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake Elistero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
You've got rights. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. JetBlue is trying to get its schedule back to normal, and its CEO is promising that never again will passengers be left stranded as they were at JFK during the Valentine's Day storm. But that's not good enough for passenger activist Kate Haney, who endured one of those 10-hour waits last December.
And it was inhuman what happened to us, and the only way we seem to be able to prevent it is by having a law passed.
So she wants federal legislation to force airlines to notify passengers within 10 minutes of a delay, to handle baggage promptly, and to provide for the essential needs of passengers during any delay longer than 3 hours, including food, water, and sanitary facilities. That's right. She's saying passengers have a right to eat and get their luggage. Well, excuse me, but have we forgotten who these airline passengers are? I've seen them. These are people who every day try to sneak oversized bottles of shampoo and moisturizer through security. These are people so repellent, the TSA screeners wear gloves just to touch their laptops. I know passengers who travel every week on business, yet they have to be checked all over again each time they fly, because you never know when one of these people, even though they've been traveling without incident for 20 years, might suddenly snap. And the insidious thing is that they all try to look so normal. Well, I don't buy it. They should be kept on the tarmac and deprived of food until they confess who they really are and why we have to keep checking their toiletries. Although, on second thought, make them eat the food until they confess who they really are. Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging. And the fastest way to stop them is with Barracuda Network's spam, firewalls, and web filters. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now and ask for your free trial. Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use. That's why over 35,000 leading companies are using the award-winning firewall. Try a Barracuda firewall for free. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to Barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat the path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
No fighting.
No fighting.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. That's Shakira. It's called Hips Don't Lie.
And it's driving me crazy.
And I don't think Tim Russert lied either.
Until I saw you dancing. And when you walk up on the dance floor, nobody can not ignore the way you move your body, girl. And everything's so unexpected, the way you right and left it. So you can keep on taking it. Never really knew that she could dance like this. She make a man want to speak Spanish. Como se llama?
I want to see Dick Cheney dance.
Shakira, Shakira.
And I know Joe Wilson had that fantasy of watching Karl Rove frog march down to the White House, maybe to the tune of a song like this. Well, the Libby trial is hitting its final stages. Final arguments, we're going to get the lowdown here, but I believe they started today, and the case should go to the jury shortly. Jason Leopold from TruthOut.org, the investigative journalist, also the author of News Junkie, a memoir, joins us again today. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Peter. How are you? Good to be back.
Yeah, nice to talk with you again, and I don't know what happened today. I haven't been able to monitor the trial.
Well, they're actually, the closing arguments took place today, both sides, and I have to say that, bookending the opening statements, it certainly is very, very explosive statements that are being made by both sides in the choice of, words that Patrick Fitzgerald, the special prosecutor, has used, and his deputy, Peter Zeidenberg, who had actually prosecuted Jack Abramoff in the same courthouse and won a conviction of him. And Ted Wells, Scooter Libby's attorney, there were numerous statements that were made during the closing arguments that would lead anyone who had the opportunity to listen to it to believe that there is something brewing regarding Dick Cheney.
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not a guilty verdict would motivate Patrick Fitzgerald to move and investigate Dick Cheney.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Fitzgerald had said there is a cloud, or there was a cloud, hanging over the vice president regarding Joe Wilson. The vice president, he invoked Vice President Cheney's name numerous times during closing arguments. 90 minutes of closing arguments, and said that, that this was not just Scooter Libby, but it was also the vice president, and he was acting as an agent of the vice president, and was doing what the vice president had instructed him to do, but then lied about it.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Fitzgerald and Peter Zeidenberg both recycled something that Patrick Fitzgerald had said during the Scooter Libby's indictment, is that he threw sand in the umpire's face. This time he said he threw sand in the FBI's face when he decided to, you know, to lie about where he had learned this information from.
Now, Jason, tell us what was different in Ted Wells' closing argument, because a lot was promised in the opening statement. It was inferred that Libby would testify in his own defense. We were led to believe that Cheney was going to testify. Rove was on a witness list. None of that occurred.
Rove was subpoenaed as well.
Yeah. And Judge Walton was described as pretty miffed at the end of last week when they disclosed that none of those individuals would testify. And it led him to sharply curtail what could be said in Wells' closing statement, particularly related to the state of mind of Scooter Libby and this kind of lame defense that he was just so busy protecting our nation from terrorists that he forgot what he knew, when he knew it, and where he knew it from.
And basically what Judge Walton had said last week is that the hearings that took place prior to the trial were very lengthy and involved the introduction of numerous classified documents known as the Presidential Daily Briefs, as well as other things that the defense was going to use as a way to establish that, you see, look at these documents. Scooter Libby was, in fact, incredibly busy, and there's just no way he could have paid attention to this. But they led the judge to pay attention to this, meaning Valerie Plame. And they led the judge to believe that Scooter Libby would testify on, you know, on his own behalf in order to back that up. And that's why the hearings into these classified documents were so lengthy, and that the judge allowed some of them to be introduced. But once they, Scooter Libby's defense team decided that, you know, we're not going to call him, the judge was excoriated the Ted Wells, saying that you misled this court.
Well, and Jason, when you slice this onion from a slightly different angle, what you see is that the White House strategy all along has been to delay this whole process as long as they possibly could. They wanted to get it past the 2004 presidential election. That was not so difficult. They wanted to get it past the midterms, and they managed to do that in part by these incredible demands for documentation and other information that they ended up not using.
Right, exactly. And, you know, the judge certainly made sure that that the defense understood that you're not going to, we're not going to allow you, this court will not allow you to use the memory defense unless your client, Scooter Libby, testifies. So what did what Ted Wells did today in his closing argument is that he said it's actually some of it is a bit comical, because he was saying, don't sacrifice Scooter Libby for the way you might feel about the Bush administration or how you might feel about the war. Again, this has nothing to do with the charges. He said that Ted Wells said that the government had failed to prove that Scooter Libby deliberately lied or knowingly lied when he said how and when he learned about Valerie Plame. He just simply, you know, could not remember. But, you know, he played into the fact that the jurors, or he assumed that the jurors are really not fans of the Bush administration.
Now, let me just, you know, roll back 10 seconds there. Did Ted Wells actually say that the government had not proved its case?
Absolutely. And in fact, let me just say
And was there laughter that followed?
Unfortunately, I could not take the pulse of the members of those in the courtroom. But he filed over the weekend some jury instructions, or revised jury instructions, and basically what he said is that, you know, it's our content, it's our belief, the defense belief, that the government failed to prove its case. The government failed to prove that Scooter Libby knowingly lied, perjured himself, you know, during the times that he was questioned, and that's why we did not call him, and that's what was in the jury instructions. And what they wanted the jury to know is that, you know, we are going to argue that, in fact, the memories of these various witnesses are also flawed. And you cannot convict Scooter Libby based on what Tim Russert says, because Tim Russert doesn't have any notes of the conversation. So, again, they really try to play into the fact that the witnesses themselves were unreliable, that other government officials had spoken to the media. You know, again, nothing that really, you know, in my opinion, it's a very poor defense because it's, again, Patrick Fitzgerald and Peter Zeidenberg held up a flow chart of each government official who said they learned about Valerie Plame from Scooter Libby, with an arrow pointing to Scooter Libby on his photo that they held up on a chart there.
So if you had to just ballpark it, is it 15 witnesses supporting Fitzgerald and just Libby's lawyer saying
didn't? You know, I think that in some instances, for example, Judith Miller, she certainly testified that she could not remember certain things, whether, you know, whether you choose to believe her or not. You know, the jury would have to make a determination on the fact that her you know, her memory was flawed. Matt Cooper did not exactly remember everything that you know, that he said and or that he testified to. However, forget Judith Miller and Matt Cooper. You have Mark Grossman, the Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs. You have a couple of CIA officers. You have
the FBI agent who interviewed him.
Other people, Kathy Martin, who worked for the vice president. These are government officials who, and Ari Fleischer. You know, Ari Fleischer has a deal, but still, they testified. Yes, I learned it from Scooter Libby on a Monday. Patrick Fitzgerald said they learned it on a Monday. Scooter Libby says he forgot about it on Thursday and learned it for the first time.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I don't want to oversimplify this, but if this ends up revolving on the testimony of Tim Russert, I have my own issues about Tim and just how tough he is, but he has a reputation that is likely embraced by most of the members of the jury as, you know, a tough journalist who asks hard questions and who is, you know, certainly very accurate in what he does in his work. And I think that, you know, the little nicks that they put in him for not having notes and, you know, minor memory issues not related to the testimony will not impeach him, and that the jury has heard the lies of Scooter Libby in the extensive audio recordings from his grand jury testimony.
That's a, you know, a very important point, because that's what the prosecution had reminded the jury about. And reminded the jury about, you know, not just what Scooter Libby said during his grand jury testimony, but the way that he concocted a story because he feared that he would either lose his job, or they even alleged that, you know, subtly, that he was covering up for somebody. Now, they didn't say who, but I think we can all guess who that person was. You know, maybe. That's what became very interesting, is, you know, almost sort of suggesting that this very well may continue. You know, I think it's important for me to point out that he does have this grand jury that was impaneled back in late November, early December 2005. He still has them on this case until the end of April. In fact, that's something that I had confirmed over the weekend. So they're still active. They're still there. And some former federal prosecutors have indicated to me that what often happens in a trial like this is that evidence will come out during the course of the trial from various witnesses who testify that will allow the prosecution to further investigate once the trial is over, once a verdict is returned.
All right, let's pick up there as we continue, because I understand that argument. At the same time, Fitzgerald should have known every detail that came up at the trial.
Absolutely.
And his ability to go back to that grand jury was not impaired by his preparation for this Libby trial. We'll continue with Jason Leopold in just a moment. If you have a question or comment, you can call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372, the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Every night, Jack Thomas camps out on a cold, lonely street corner. Tonight, some people almost brought him something to eat. Someone almost drove him to a shelter. Another almost brought him a warm blanket. And Jack Thomas, well, he almost made it through the night. Sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. But that's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Visit don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hello, everybody. This is R.J. Moyer. Join me Sunday nights from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. for Sports Phone KRXA. Now all of us Monday morning quarterbacks can get together Sunday nights and talk about football, baseball, basketball, tennis, golf, hockey, softball, volleyball, kickball, bocce ball, bowling, rugby, lacrosse. Well, maybe we won't talk about rugby and lacrosse, but join me anyway for Sports Phone KRXA, Sunday nights from 6 p.m. until 7 p.m.
Taking a look at your Central Coast traffic. An earlier accident in Live Oak, Thurber Lane at Commercial Way. Two vehicles involved in that one. It has been cleared from the lane, so you're going to be smooth riding past there. Highway 17, both directions, stall and accident free. So actually, no new stalls or accidents to let you know about. Monterey, Santa Cruz, Salinas, all checking in, stall and accident free. You are going to see some sluggish traffic, though. Southbound 101, leaving Silicon Valley is pretty heavy from Highway 85 to Coyote Creek Golf Drive. And it also continues sluggish through Gilroy, Prunedale, and all the way into Salinas. Southbound Highway 1, it's brake lights between Monterey and Carmel. And also eastbound 129, it's a slow and go between Watsonville and Aromas. Don't risk that important presentation. Hurry into Office Depot for all your design, printing, and shipping needs. From a few copies to bound presentations, Office Depot can help. Let Office Depot lend you a hand. I'm Dio with traffic on KRXA 540.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. It's 10 minutes before the hour. Coming up right after the top of the hour news, Melanie Sloan, her weekly briefing from CREW, that's Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. We'll get an update on the former Deputy Interior Secretary, Stephen Griles, and a sweetheart deal that he put together. And that was revealed after CREW named him to the list of the 25 most corrupt members of the Bush administration. And in the Free Speech Zone next hour, we'll take lots of your phone calls under our usual rules, which is pretty much no rules. Jason Leopold continues with us, truthout.org reporter and the author of News Junkie, a memoir about his early life as a reporter. And we just learned during the break that Helen Thomas, who's been a reporter almost as long as I've been alive, has been booted out of her front row seat in the White House press room. We'll talk about that a little bit more next hour. Jason, I wanted to come back to the closing arguments that you monitored today from the courtroom in Washington at the Libby trial.
And just, are there any other nuances of Ted Wells, differences between his opening statement and omissions? For example, he had said in the opening statement that he was going to prove that Scooter Libby was used as a scapegoat to protect Karl Rove.
Right. Unfortunately, again, it was nothing but suggestions that that was the case, that Scooter Libby was being sacrificed once again, but no evidence to back it up. He had actually said that, you know, Ari Fleischer had leaked, Karl Rove, and various other White House officials, and you know, sort of trying to lead the jury to believe that, you know, this is unfair. It's unfair that Scooter Libby was the only one charged, which is pretty similar to an argument, a flawed argument that Victoria Tonsing had had put forth in a Washington Post op-ed.
Yeah, we talked about it and ripped that apart yesterday.
Yeah, so, but there was nothing tangible to offer. If anything, what this comes down to is Ted Wells saying, Ted Wells, who's probably earning upwards of $5 million, it's Scooter Libby's word against the word of everyone else who says that they learned about Valerie Plame from Scooter Libby.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, you know, trying to deconstruct this, it really is pointless, because it comes down to there's numerous witnesses, there's documented proof that Scooter Libby not only learned about Valerie Plame from Vice President Cheney, but, you know, spent a good month, you know, beating back criticism from Joe Wilson, and you know, then basically threw, you know, Tim Russert into the picture.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, any sort of suggestion that this was a White House conspiracy, I think a lot of people wanted to see the evidence of that, because
yeah,
that would have been fantastic. You know, if they could introduce the evidence to back that up, but unfortunately, there wasn't.
And despite the narrow focus of the trial, which, you know, was never permitted to deal with the leak itself, only the investigation and the truthiness of what Libby said to the grand jury.
Right.
Despite that, we did learn a lot. And you have a piece that you published on Friday at Truth Out. There's a front page story in the New York Times today, and it widens out it kind of zooms back.
Right.
And looks at the overall operation of the White House, the way Cheney was able to call a lot of shots and often mislead senior officials, you know, in the executive office of the president at the White House. And as you pointed out in your piece, we've learned a lot more from the intelligence revelations of recent weeks, the Office
right.
of Special Plans, and the degree to which Paul Wolfowitz was working in concert with the Cheney office at the White House to cook up the intelligence.
Exactly.
Pre-war.
It all fits together. I mean, it's like a big puzzle where we sort of knew where these pieces fit, but we finally got the pieces and were able to put them together. You know, one thing that I do want to mention that I did not mention is that in closing, Patrick Fitzgerald did mention that he made it a point to mention that Craig Schmall, I believe I'm pronouncing his name correctly, one of the CIA briefers, reminded the jury that he had told Scooter Libby that the revealing the identity of a CIA officer could have grave consequences. And he actually told the jury that, you know, Schmall had testified that this an officer could be tortured, killed, and that includes anyone that he or she has worked with. So, again, trying to establish Scooter Libby's state of mind, Patrick Fitzgerald had said that, you know, this CIA briefer had told him the repercussions of outing an undercover officer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything else you'd like to add from today's events or things in the past week that we haven't covered yet, Jason?
No, I think that, you know, you made a very good point, and I think it's really important for people to understand that while this is, you know, this trial is focused very much on, you know, what did Scooter Libby know and when did he know it? The peripheral aspects of this trial were, to me, almost as important, if not more important,
Well, and let me use two key verbs here that I think are important: smear and twisted.
Yeah.
Smear was the act of bringing Joe Wilson down a notch or two for having the temerity to tell the truth.
Right.
And twisted is how the White House responded, and they used all kinds of techniques to try to camouflage and deflect attention to the fact that they were leaking this for their own ulterior motives.
Right.
And so smear and twisted, I think, are the words that I'm going to take away from this trial.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, hopefully this won't be the end. The jury has about, I would say that the jury could return a verdict as early as Thursday, but they have Fridays off. But I think that, what we've come away with is that this administration really did mislead the country into war.
And on that note, I say book 'em, Dano. Karl Rove, Richard Cheney, et al. Thank you, Jason Leopold.
Thank you, Peter.
All right, we'll talk again next week.
You got it.
Read all about it at truthout.org. Coming up next, Melanie Sloan will kick off our hour with a report on corruption in Washington. We'll keep it brief, so there's room for you in the free speech zone. You can call on any subject from any viewpoint and from anywhere within the sound of my voice. The Peter B. Collins Show is produced in San Francisco by Matt Renner. If you have a suggestion for guests or topics or a complaint about the host, direct it to matt@peterbcollins.com.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Tom Hartman.
Bush and Rumsfeld and Cheney and Pearl and Wolfowitz, they all believed that if we knocked over Saddam and then we went in and we changed all the rules in Iraq to inflict shock therapy, the conservative corporatist worldview on Iraq.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
That it would create such a happy place that within 6 months we could simply come home. They so believed that there was no plan B. That's how crazed these guys are.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Peter King. British Prime Minister Tony Blair has been the president's greatest ally during the war in Iraq, but now he's reportedly set to announce the pullout of about 1,500 troops from southern Iraq. In London, CBS News correspondent Mark Phillips says the withdrawal is being billed as a sign of progress.
This will be depicted as a successful policy of the pacifying of an area by the British troops and of the handing over of authority in that area to Iraqi troops. It's significant, though, that at this stage the British are only talking about withdrawing by the end of the year down to around 4,000 troops and say they're keep those troops in the country for contingencies depending on what happens.
I'm Mark Noller at the White House. The reduction of British forces in southern Iraq is seen here as a sign of improvement. An official says it shows that British forces feel confident enough to turn over their security duties to Iraqi troops. That's the U.S. objective, too, in other parts of the country. President Bush discussed the British drawdown earlier in the day with British Prime Minister Blair.
A big win for Philip Morris. The Supreme Court has tossed out a nearly $80 million award to a woman who sued the cigarette maker after her smoker husband died of cancer. The court ruled that a jury could only punish a defendant for damage to the person suing, not his or her survivors. CBS News correspondent Wyatt Andrews says the implications could be big.
What's most likely to happen now is that a new jury instruction will have to go out in cases where the company has lost. And the jury instruction will be something like, you can't punish this company for all the other people that it hurt, even though it might have hurt other folks. You can't add to the money. That's likely not to eliminate huge jury verdicts, but it will probably diminish a lot of them.
The jury gets the Scooter Libby case in the morning. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato has more on today's closing arguments at the trial of Dick Cheney's former right-hand man.
Sometimes with passion, sometimes in tedious detail, lawyers for both sides made this a case about memory and trust. Doggedly attacking the credibility of prosecution witnesses, defense lawyers insisted nothing has been proved beyond a reasonable doubt. It's not even close, attorney William Jeffress argued. His partner Ted Wells warned jurors they can't erase a wrong verdict. My client's life will be destroyed. Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald told jurors to use their common sense. Among his final words, Libby stole the truth from the judicial system. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, U.S. District Court, Washington.
The president says he wants his new head of intelligence to find more recruits who have the skills to spot terrorists in potential trouble. Retired Vice Admiral Mike McConnell was sworn in as the second director of National Intelligence.
The time needed to develop a terrorist plot, communicate it around the globe, and put it into motion has been drastically reduced. The timeline is no longer a calendar, it is a watch.
He says old policies have overruled common sense when it comes to hiring the right people with the right skills. Wall Street, the Dow is up just over 19 points, the NASDAQ up nearly 17. This is CBS News.
So you're a consultant?
Yes, sir.
What's with the wall of sticky notes?
It's my small business accounting system. Unpaid invoices go on the purple ones.
And the green?
New customers.
So unpaid bills are the yellow ones.
How'd you know?
I took a shot. You know, there's an easier way to manage your business.
Yeah?
Yeah, QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes with just a few clicks. QuickBooks software lets you write checks, send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't.
I'll switch. So, need a couple hundred sticky notes?
I'm going to pass on that. QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Office Max, Best Buy, or Amazon.com.
Okay, 17-inch aluminum wheels, all-new Chrysler Sebring Touring, standard. Toyota Camry LE, not available. Honda Accord LX, not available. Yes, essential stain-resistant fabric Sebring, standard. Other guys, not available. There's got to be something. Steering wheel, Sebring, standard. Toyota and Honda, standard.
The all-new Chrysler Sebring, completely redesigned inside and out with many exclusive features. As described, $21,110. MSRP excludes tax.
A judge declares a mistrial in the medical malpractice lawsuit filed by Notre Dame football coach Charlie Weiss. WBZ's Mark Caddick has more on the abrupt and strange ending.
An expert witness was giving testimony in support of Mass General doctors Richard Hoden and Charles Ferguson when all of a sudden a juror signaled to a bailiff he was in distress. He moaned, struggled to breathe, and immediately Hoden, Ferguson, and their witness leaped to the juror's aid. The judge agreed with Charlie Weiss's attorney to declare a mistrial. Attorney Michael Moan says he argued it reluctantly.
The last thing in the world you want is a jury making a decision based upon something that none of the parties could control.
The doctor's attorney, William Daly Jr., was upset.
And we were very optimistic that there was going to be a good result.
Both sides say it could be months before a new trial begins.
The California judges ruled that O.J. Simpson's income from past movie, TV, and commercial work should go directly to the family of murder victim Ron Goldman, but the judge also rejected the family's bid to collect Simpson's earnings on future projects. Peter King, CBS News.
Running out of ink? Run into Office Depot. With over 500 ink, toner, and fax supplies guaranteed in-store and thousands more online, Office Depot has what you need at unbeatable prices. Save more by recycling empty ink and toner cartridges. When you think ink, let Office Depot lend you a hand. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Whoa, Office Depot!
See store for details.
Buying a used car can be filled with pitfalls, but there's one sure way to avoid stumbling. Buy a Honda-certified used car. Only well-maintained late-model Hondas are eligible. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection and then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. Plus, now, you can get low APR financing on all certified used Honda Odyssey and Pilot models. Feeling a little more sure-footed, aren't we? Honda-certified used cars. Hey, it may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
The Peter B. Collins Show is on time and under budget. Oh, that's right. We don't have a budget. We're live from San Francisco, heading into the free speech zone just 10 minutes away. If you have a comment you want to share with our massive listening audience, grab a line toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. I know a lot of people are still steaming over our first guest, Grace Marie Turner, advocating the free market approach to healthcare delivery. You'll get your chance. 888-573-8372 is our number. Every week we get an update from Melanie Sloan about corruption in Washington. She's the executive director of CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Hey, Melanie, how you doing today?
Good, Peter.
Well, good. I got a couple of things I wanted to mention. One is I was perusing the web, and I saw that CREW received a $500 award from Velvet Revolution for being the first to find a picture of George W. Bush and Jack Abramoff and post it on the web.
That's right, although we can't take that much credit for that because somebody gave it to us. Some person who wanted to remain anonymous found the picture and sent it our way, and we offered to give that person the reward, but they were not interested in having anyone know who they were.
Okay. Well, we'll let it stop there. But it was just an interesting little thing that I saw. And last week, you were generous with your time, and we went into some depth about CREW's new list of the 25 most corrupt members of the Bush administration. And the next day, details broke on a kind of amazing little partnership formed by Stephen Griles, who used to be the number two at the Department of Interior, and a woman who was at one point his girlfriend, whom he met at Interior, and then she moved over to the Justice Department, where she was able to grease a deal for ConocoPhillips. And then the lobbyist for ConocoPhillips went in with Griles and the girlfriend Sue Ellen Wooldridge on a vacation home that's worth almost $1 million in South Carolina.
I know. And not only that, when Sue Ellen Wooldridge was over at the Department of Interior, she was okaying all of Griles' conduct, saying that it was ethical. Uh-huh. So she was the one who was clearing his unethical behavior, saying it was ethical, all the while she was his girlfriend and failing to tell anybody about it, which some might view as, I don't know, unethical.
And now he's a highly ethical lobbyist for clients like the American Petroleum Institute, Newmont Mining, and other energy and mining clients with a broad array of issues before the Department of Interior.
Well, you know, he was until about 2 weeks ago when the Justice Department issued a target letter and said they were likely to indict him. And suddenly his lobbying clients weren't quite so interested, and he lost his big-time lobbying job.
Oh, well.
It's a shame, isn't it?
I'm not going to shed a tear over it. But that's a nice update on that part of it, because I imagine that while he's defending himself, he could still collect big bucks from the people who he carried water and oil for.
Well, that's right, you know, and he's been someone who's been on the top of CREW's list since our very beginning back in 2003, because right when Griles took his job over as the number two at Interior, he had been a mining, oil, and gas lobbyist, and he took a payout of over $1 million from his former clients while he was now the number two at Interior, promising not to meet with those clients, but of course still meeting with them and doing things for them in that job. So really couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Indeed.
Coming indictment.
And one little claim to fame I have, and I still have the email posted over here on a corkboard. I had one interview with Secretary Norton, and I offended her because I asked some tough questions about what she was doing at the Department of the Interior. And the next day, her press guy said she will never talk to me again.
Very sad for you, I'm sure.
Well, I got over it.
You got by.
So, Melanie, a very interesting angle here. CREW is fighting for us to get information about global warming. Explain what the Council on Environmental Quality is and why you have sued them.
Sure. The Council on Environmental Quality is actually an organization within the White House. And some of your listeners may have seen a 60 Minutes episode a couple months ago, where it came out that a former chief of staff, a man named Philip Cooney, edited various government reports to downplay and obscure scientific facts about global warming. And, of course, he did this and then promptly went back to work for the oil industry.
Mm-hmm.
Exxon, I believe it was. And back in on May 12th of 2006, we had sent a FOIA to the CEQ asking, that's Council for Environmental Quality, asking for all records in the agency's possession mentioning or relating to the causes associated with global warming, because the Bush administration has been so keen on downplaying it and trying to tell us all that global warming is a myth. Well, the Council on Environmental Quality said that they would provide all those documents, and very slowly they were providing them, but they were only providing the ones that were already in the public record, not the ones they were supposed to be providing. And finally, we just had enough, and we sued them today. and said, you have violated the law, the Freedom of Information Act, and you're going to have to give us those documents. We're going to go into federal court and demand them.
And so you're suing the CEQ, the White House?
We're suing CEQ to provide the documents that they are required under the FOIA, which is a statute that you and I have talked about before, which is a statute that allows any citizen, frankly, to go in and ask the government for documents, and they're required to provide those documents. Well, these days with the Bush administration, you really have to be a lawyer, because although you're supposed to be able to be anyone and go ask for the documents, the reality is you have to go and sue to get those documents, and that's a large part of what CREW does.
Well, bring a little sunlight there. Can only help us in the global warming fight.
That's right.
Now, you've also issued some FEC, Federal Election Commission, complaints against Senator Tom Coburn, Republican of Oklahoma, one of the Diaz-Balart brothers, Lincoln Diaz-Balart from Florida. There are two of them who serve in Congress from Little Havana there, and Representative Marilyn Musgrave of Colorado. Now, I assume that these are all different cases of campaign finance misdeeds.
They are all different cases, but they're all very similar misdeeds. Basically, the complaints all say that each of these members of Congress, each of their campaign committees, have failed to identify certain contributors. The FEC, the Federal Election Campaign Act, requires candidates to file reports identifying all contributors who donate more than $200 by name. It also requires campaign committees to file within 48 hours of the receipt the identity of anybody who gives them more than $1,000 if we're within 20 days of an election.
Right.
And these are called 48-hour reports. And in violation of these provisions, Coburn, Diaz-Balart, and Musgrave all waited to identify some of their contributors until well after the election. For Mr. Coburn, this is perhaps the most egregious case because it was in his 2004 Senate election. He failed to provide an astonishing 202 of these 48-hour reports, which were about $349,000 in contributions. Now, the reason this is important is that the FECA, the Federal Election Campaign Act, requires people to provide this information before voters have to decide on the election, before they have to vote. They might want to know who's contributing to these folks, who are their major donors. So by failing to report this information till after the election, they're basically hiding the identities from their constituents, hiding the identities from voters who might rely on that information in making voting decisions.
And Diaz-Balart appears to be a repeat offender.
That's right, he is. He was, the FEC fined him for failing to report similar contributions in his 1998 campaign. And then, and sometimes they'll argue that they didn't know who their contributors were, and that's why they couldn't tell you who the contributors were. Well, one of his contributors that we're complaining about now turns out to be the husband of one of his colleagues, another representative from Florida, Ileana Ross-Layton. You know perfectly well that Mr. Diaz-Balart knew that Ross Layton's husband was one of his contributors. So his failure to identify that contributor, combined with his past performance of failing to identify this, suggests that he's got a pattern of doing this, and that's something that we then alleged was a knowing and willful violation. And if you have a knowing and willful violation, the FEC can actually inflict treble damages on a person for making those kind of violations. So it's even more serious.
And what about Musgrave in Colorado?
In Musgrave, in Colorado, in the 2006 election cycle, failed to identify contributors in four consecutive reports, which obviously suggests a pattern again. You might make a mistake once, but you don't fail to do the same thing four times and then claim you made a mistake. And she failed to file 10 48-hour reports for a total of over $18,000 in contributions.
Well, this is very interesting. And what's the next step on these issues, Melanie? Where does it go from here?
Well, what happens next is because we filed the complaints, the FEC is obliged to look at them. Unlike when we write an ethics complaint against a member of Congress and basically, you know, everyone can decide to ignore us altogether, and often happens, the FEC is obligated to look into and investigate any matter when somebody files a complaint. So now the FEC will look into this, and at least we already know, for example, in the case of Tom Coburn, that they'll find fault because we based our complaint on an FEC audit. So now the question is, what will the FEC do about it? And if they fail to take any action, and I will tell you that that will take perhaps up to a year, then we'll decide on a further legal action against them.
All right. Well, keep us posted on that, Melanie. I appreciate your work.
My pleasure.
And I know it's a week past Valentine's Day, but Peter V., one of our listeners in Monterey, phoned in and says, Melanie is one of his six favorite women in the world. He just wishes you'd carry tars and feathers with you at all times.
No, that's a good idea, and I'll take that under consideration.
Yeah, Home Depot has them on sale this week.
Thank you, Peter.
Thanks, Melanie. Bye. Melanie Sloan Crew, their website, Citizens for Ethics, Citizens, F-O-R, ethics.org. All right, we're heading into the free speed zone next. Line up, and we'll talk. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number.
Oh.
It's 888-573-8372. Oh. And if you want to talk in particular about the free market approach to health care, I'd be delighted to discuss that with you. We can also talk about Iran. We can talk about John McCain, the Libby trial, or anything else that's on your mind and in the news. 888-5-PETER-B. We'll take your calls next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Nice sound. Good. In the groove. Nice sound.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Well, Central Coast traffic looking good currently. No new stalls or accidents to tell you about. Monterey, Santa Cruz, Salinas. Also, both directions of Highway 17 through the Santa Cruz Mountain stall and accident-free as well. You're going to see quite a bit of sluggish traffic, though. Southbound 101 is very heavy, leaving Silicon Valley from 85 to Coyote Creek Golf Drive, and it also continues very sluggish through Gilroy, Prunedale, and also all the way into Salinas. Southbound 1, you're going to see brake lights between Monterey and Carmel. And also, eastbound Highway 25, it is stop and go out of Gilroy and into Hollister. Eastbound 129 is just stacked up between Watsonville and Aromas. This report brought to you by Welch's 100% Grape Juice. The American Heart Association recommends a diet rich in antioxidants. So where can you find them? Welch's 100% Grape Juice. It's full of natural protective antioxidants. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
I want to dedicate the free speech zone on the Peter B. Collins Show to the people who currently live or formerly resided in the great city of New Orleans or anywhere along the Gulf Coast in the path of Hurricane Katrina and the floods that followed. It's Fat Tuesday in New Orleans. Things are better than last year as the Mardi Gras celebrations getting back to some semblance of normalcy. But New Orleans will never be the same. And we've got a lot more work to do there. A couple of items in the news and then straight to your phone calls in the free speech zone here at 888-5-PETER-B. The coalition of the billing is shrinking further as Tony Blair announced he's yanking 1,500 British troops out of southern Iraq. And he also said that a total of 3,000 British soldiers will have left southern Iraq by the end of 2007. And I think they peaked at about 12,000 troops. The current headcount there of Brits is 7,100. So it's shrinking pretty fast.
Lead me, lead me, lead me. Lead me to the golden stand. If my wings should fail me, won't you provide me with another pair? Oh, Lord, I don't care where.
That's called Bury My Body. It's a New Orleans funeral song, kind of like the St. James Infirmary Blues. And that's from the Peter B. Collins Tax Deductible Music Archives. It's Al Cooper and Shuggy Otis going back to the late 1960s. Also in the news today, Guantanamo Bay detainees may not challenge their detention in U.S. courts, according to a federal appeals court in a ruling issued today. U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia ruled 2-1 that civilian courts no longer have the authority to consider whether the military is illegally holding foreigners. And while my first inclination is to lambaste the court, the real responsibility lies with the callow politicians who passed the Military Commissions Act in October of last year. And I'm reaching over here because on the cork board, at the side of my microphone position here, I keep a list of the senators who voted for the MCA, the Military Commissions Act, which I refer to as the Joe Stalin Interrogation, Detention, and Kangaroo Court Act of 2006. And I will remind you who the Democrats are who voted for it. Carper of Delaware, Johnson of South Dakota, Landrieu of Louisiana, Lautenberg of New Jersey, Lieberman, well, he's not really a Democrat anymore. Menendez of New Jersey. The Nelson brothers, who aren't brothers. Bill from Florida. Ben from Nebraska. Pryor of Arkansas. Rockefeller of West Virginia. I still can't understand that. Salazar of Colorado. Specter, he's not a Democrat, but he voted in favor of this, even though he had raised serious questions about the habeas corpus denial. And finally, Stabenow of Michigan. Those are the people to blame for the passage of the Military Commissions Act, which was upheld by the court today. And will the Supreme Court overturn it? I doubt it. It's got to be fixed. And Chris Dodd, senator from Connecticut, has introduced a bill to do that. We'll be following that very closely. Greg in Sacramento, thanks for holding. You're up first in the free speech zone today. You're on the air.
Well, thank you, Peter. I'll make this quick because I see that time is running short. I got good news and bad news for you.
All right.
The good news is I promise I will not file a complaint with Matt.
Okay. I thought that you were going to actually try to talk about Britney Spears and then I'd have to cut you off.
No. Gag me.
Okay, I will.
the bad news is that I just got the last hour I was listening to part of what I could tolerate in an interview with David Dionisi.
Mm-hmm. Who's that?
He's some Iran expert. I didn't catch all of his credentials.
Okay.
But he was talking to Christine here on our local show about what could happen if Bush and Israel pulls the trigger on going into Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, Peter, I'm down, a little bit, you know, calmed down now. But I was a little shaking a little bit, you know, when he was talking.
Right. Well, Greg, I know you listen occasionally online, and we're not on a radio station in Sacramento at the present. Yesterday, we had a powerful interview with Dan Plesch in London, and I want to direct you to the website newstatesman.com. That's New Statesman, spelled just like it sounds, .com.
Okay.
That's a publication there, and look for the article called Iran Ready to Attack. The operational program is called Tyrant, T-I-R-A-N-N-T, for Theater Iran Near Term.
Is that M-E-N or M-A-N?
New Statesman, M-A-N, you're right.
.com.
Yep. So check that out. We're going to continue our coverage of this because I'm very concerned. I don't believe that the administration is leveling with the American people or the Congress. And fortunately, the Democratic leaders have laid out some markers. You've heard Nancy Pelosi explicitly say that the president does not have authorization from this Congress
to conduct any
elective military action against Iran.
Well, what I was going to tell you, since Nancy Pelosi is probably listening to me right now, I asked, Madam Speaker, please impeach this psychopath. You know, the ramifications of us bombing or with nukes in another country with no provocation whatsoever and having them retaliate, which could possibly happen, according to the Dionysi interview that I heard just about an hour ago.
Well, Greg, I appreciate that point because we're not hearing any analysis of the potential repercussions. And we saw a very vivid example with Israel's attack on Hezbollah in Lebanon this summer that air power alone will not do the job. And that's what they think about Iran. We can just play this big video game, 10,000 simultaneous attacks. Sorry, Charlie.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Hey everybody, this is Larry from Acme Coffee Roasting Company in Seaside, and I want to know if you're tired of wading through hacky sackers and laptop zombies just to receive a mediocre cup of joe by some underwhelmed employee somewhere. Well, you come on down to Acme Coffee Roasting Company. Meet the local hardworking folks all around you. We roast the coffee every day. We're owner-operated and totally qualified. Why don't you come on down and see how we turned a little alleyway in Seaside, California into a place to grab a good cup of joe. At the corner of Broadway and Contra Costa, come on down, my friends. Just drink it. Resist corporate coffee.
Yeah, can you grunt to the beat, huh? It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're live from San Francisco, and this is the Free Speech Zone. I've got lines available if you'd like to call into the show and express yourself. The number's toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You can get jiggy with me. And up next, Deborah in Phoenix. Hello, Deborah. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter B. I'm going to give you a compliment that I thought of saying a million times, but I always forget. Thank you so much for not saying and when you talk.
I try not to, but, you know, it's interesting. When I listen back to recordings of the show, I hear a few ums in there, and I shudder.
Well, yeah. I know. It's really hard not to do it, but... Yeah, but there are some people on the radio that it's like when they're trying to think, they have to say and it just drives me nuts.
Yeah.
So you are very good at that. You and Randy Rhodes, I think, do a good job.
Let me see if I can find it here. I have a clip that I sometimes pull out here. He said, pausing to fill. But it doesn't look like it's in my file right now. So I'll see if I can pull it up later. It's an edit of all these different people saying, you know?
Oh, yes.
That's the other crutch.
I know.
That people have. Well, what's on your mind today?
Oh, I'm panting. I'm moving furniture.
Oh.
It's genetic. I just have to do it every so many months.
This is just like a Martha Stewart inspiration to shuffle the deck chairs in your Titanic?
Yes, and I put tile throughout my whole house, so it's just too tempting. So it's real easy to move stuff around. So.
You know, our house has been held hostage by a tile guy, Jim, and he's almost done. I can't wait.
Oh, you'll love it. Okay, I'll let your other callers get on.
Okay, Deborah, thank you very much. Now
okay.
To Pat
right.
In Redwood City, California, where Peter B. used to live. Hi, Pat.
Hi, Peter B. Thanks for getting me on the air.
Okay. At least you didn't say taking my call.
You cued me there a little earlier when you mentioned health care.
Mm-hmm.
And what I wanted to say was, particularly around this, or motivated by the financial situation with Chrysler.
Yeah.
Every time one of these mainstream media people or one of their pundits on their panel talk about how U.S. companies aren't competitive because of employer-paid health care and pensions and retirement benefits and all that sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
I want to say, Well, let's talk about executive compensation.
Well, that's a good place to start.
I think a big chunk of reason that American companies aren't competitive is that we pay our CEOs 400 times the amount of their average employee.
Mm-hmm.
I think we ought to take about 380 times of that and finance pensions and employer-paid health care.
Well, your point is well taken, and let's just use the example of United Airlines. They used the bankruptcy court to wriggle out of the contracts they had with their union employees to provide health care benefits and a good pension plan. And they bailed on the pension, basically dumped that on the government bailout fund. But the pension and health care benefits of the CEO of United are still in full force. And he has suffered no loss of his pension, even as he has presided over an airline that's been into bankruptcy, I think, twice now under his tenure. I think the guy's name is Tilton. And it's just shameful because he should not be rewarded for his cruel behavior toward his own employees.
Well, he's rewarded for his incompetence.
Well, the other thing that, Pat, your comments suggest to me, and for some of my listeners, they've heard this before, but I'll act like it's brand new. I believe that the problems in Detroit are symptomatic of problems in our manufacturing sector. And we see that Daimler is now trying to unload Chrysler. And General Motors might buy it, which doesn't seem like a logical move on in my view. But, hey, what do I know? I believe that we should bail out Detroit. Not with federally financed loans, not with, giveaways or, relaxation of regulations that might make them more competitive or more profitable. But we should fix the problem with universal single-payer health care in this country. Because if we did that, right away, the Detroit car manufacturers would save about $2,000 a unit. They now say they spend about $3,000 a unit on health and pension. And I'm just arbitrarily dividing it two-thirds, one-third. I don't know the exact number. My point is that if we're going to salvage what is left of manufacturing in the United States, the health care issue has to be resolved, and it has to be done in a way that creates a level playing field so that we don't have Walmart coming into a community forcing the existing grocery chains to hammer their employees for concessions and take away benefits that they bargained for and gave up raises and other, improvements in their contracts for over a long period of time. And it's fundamentally wrong and immoral to take those benefits away from people without some compensation. And if we really want to get to the bottom of this, we can't continue to flirt with profit in our healthcare insurance and delivery systems. And I want to pull back the curtain here. We had a guest on at the beginning of the show today, Grace Marie Turner. And Matt Renner and I talked about this, and we decided to have her on, even though I don't agree with her premise or her policies, because I wanted to hear the argument that they offer for expanding the role of profit makers in our healthcare system. Bush invited them into the White House today and said, ooh, we can't have single payer. Ooh, we don't want socialism in our health delivery system. And so he turned to the very people who are responsible for the mess we have today and asked them to fix it. Now, that's like asking the oil companies to help us get off our dependence on their products. That's like asking the cigarette companies, the tobacco companies, to help us, become unaddicted. And, of course, Philip Morris, by law or by court, now has to run these commercials, but they don't mean it.
Right, and I support the notion of single-payer health care. What I don't want it to become, however, is another instance of unloading a corporate expense upon the middle class.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
I think it should be financed by executive compensation.
Well, John Edwards
be financed by those golden parachutes.
John Edwards is the excuse me, Pat, John Edwards is the only candidate with an explicit program that would tax households of more than $200,000 annual income to pay for his proposal for universal health care coverage. And, you know, Barack Obama talks about the problem, but he hasn't laid out any proposals whatsoever. Hillary Clinton's supposed to be an expert on it, and she's edging up to it, but she doesn't have a comprehensive plan, and she won't acknowledge who's going to pay for it. And John Edwards is pulling a page out of the Walter Mondale playbook. It's very dangerous to talk about raising taxes, even on people you don't expect to vote for you. But that's the you know, the straightest talk that we've heard on this issue so far in the early stages of the 08 campaign. Pat, thanks for your call today. It's really good to have you listening.
Thank you.
All right. Now to Emily and Salinas on line one. Hello, Emily. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter B.
Hi.
I just...
Oh, well, Benny at the NSA is blocking your call right now. Wow.
Hello?
That was weird. It's like somebody got on a transmitter and jammed your line there, Emily.
Wow, you didn't hear what I said?
No, you better say it again.
Oh, I just called because I love your show. I listen to it every day, and I think you're great.
Wow. Well, that's really nice of you. Why would somebody try to jam a compliment like that?
Wow. It's because you're hot, Peter B. You're, like, so hot that
really?
Someone was trying to jam your call.
I'll take it. From you, Emily, I'll take it.
Okay. I love you, though. I've seen your picture on the Internet, and I just love you, and I love your show.
Well, I love to be loved. Thank you.
Okay, I've always tried to get through, but I could never get through. So
well, today you succeeded. Do you have a thought you want to share with us? Or are you just sharing the love?
I'm sharing the love, and I think people should be more kind to animals.
Okay.
And they should recycle.
Okay, be kind to animals and recycle. Love you, Emily. Thank you for the call.
Okay, bye.
Sheila in Tempe, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, can I talk about anything I want?
Anything you want.
Okay, great. I love your show.
We do prefer English, but go ahead.
Okay, great. That's what I speak. I would like to ask you a question. I believe I was out in the car one day. I don't think I'm confusing you with Tom Hartman because usually I'm out, and I like both of you, but you're out now. I thought you said that you thought that Kerry won the 2004 election with the results in Ohio. And did I understand you correctly?
Yes.
Okay, I'd like to ask you one more question.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the bookstore down the street from me, I did meet Mark Crispin Miller once.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you know who he is.
Oh, yeah, he's been on the program.
Right. And when I asked him, after every, you know, he spoke, and I asked him, I said, this was before his Fooled Again book had come out.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him if he meant just the electoral vote or the popular vote. And to my surprise, at that time, because the book hadn't come out, he said that the popular vote as well. And I wondered how you felt. Did you feel that if the Ohio vote had gone as it should have, I would like to know if you feel that Kerry would have won only with the electoral vote, or do you think enough problems were in existence that he could have won the popular vote as well?
Nationally?
Yes.
Hard to say, because outside of Ohio, there hasn't been that much forensic investigation into the very narrow margin states.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would leave that as a question that I'm not capable of answering with the information I have at my fingertips. But let me look into it, and we'll either ask the experts in Columbus, Harvey Wasserman and Bob Fitrakis, or maybe I can ask Brad Friedman when he's back with us on Friday.
Yeah, I'd love to know, because Mark Crispin Miller definitely said that. And I just, you know, wondered whether he was alone in feeling that, because otherwise Bush would have won by, what, 3.5 million votes, and Kerry would have been president.
Well, the anomalies are in the exit polls, and that's where I would begin, you know, if I were starting a fresh investigation into this, Sheila, in looking at the states that, you know, narrowly delivered their electoral college votes to Bush to see if there was chicanery there of the type that occurred in Ohio. And I'm inclined to believe it, but I don't want to mislead you to say that I've done the homework and actually have a solid answer there.
Now, one more thing. When you were talking about McCain, now I'm doing this hearsay, and I need to check with my son on this. But he told me last month, there's somebody who lives in the Phoenix area. I don't know who he is. He was associated with McCain. I'm not sure if he was a prisoner of war as well. But the myth surrounding McCain, that you remember his father was an admiral before
right.
him.
Yes, he was.
And then supposedly his captors wanted to release him right away when they found out that, and he said no, he wouldn't do it, he would wait his turn. This man is going around saying that is absolutely false, that that is not true. And I'll have to ask my son more details about it. Now, my son is one of these conservatives, so he isn't on the same side as I am.
Yeah.
In fact, most of my family are, actually. But I don't know. Maybe I could find out some more information and see if this man is willing to come forward in this effort to recall McCain, which, you know, I'm in Arizona, so that would be fine with me. So anyway, okay, I'll let you go.
All right, and on the McCain question, why don't you email Cliff Schechter at therealmccain.com?
Yeah, I must. I heard you mention that. Yeah, I must get on that website, and maybe he'll have something about it or something.
Sheila, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Nice
Bye-bye.
To talk to the non-conservative member of your family. There she goes. 888-5 Peter B. That's our toll-free number. Lines are open if you'd like to talk with us before the top of the hour. And I want to acknowledge an email from Gnostic Manna. And this refers to our guest, Grace Marie Turner, in the first hour from the pro-healthcare industry, pro-insurance industry, pro-pharma industry, Galen Institute. And the email reads, this corporatistic misery profiteer guest of yours, Peter, is double talking you. And this is hard to read because it goes back and forth into all caps and weird letters here in the email. Their private big pharma written unregulated pricing Medicare coverage bill alone will cost U.S. taxpayers trillions of dollars in drug overcharges, etc., care overcharging, etc., etc. Lad, throw her off your show's precious airtime with her stinking mendacious lies and utter evility. Evility? It's signed Best Barks, Brian and Casper O'Moore, co-bureau chiefs for the Mike Malloy Show in Raymond, New Hampshire. Can you stop abusing the all caps, please, there? But thanks for the note. And keep on barking. More of your calls in a moment in the Free Speed Zone right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
These United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech. You have the right to worship as you choose. And when you disagree with Billy Sunshine, you have the right to be wrong.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM. Tune in Sundays 3 to 5.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Ropp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective, here on KRXA 540.
much for the final look at Central Coast traffic. Just one thing to tell you about King City area, northbound 101 at Oak Avenue. Watch out for a large trash bag. It's been dropped in the roadway there. No lane information. Just keep your eyes open as you roll through there. Monterey, Santa Cruz, Salinas. Other than that, no new stalls or accidents to let you know about. Highway 17, both directions through Santa Cruz Mounds. Also checking in, stall and accident free. You are going to see some sluggish traffic. Southbound Highway 1 is just stacked up between Monterey and Carmel. And eastbound 183, pretty sluggish from Cashville and into Salinas. Also, eastbound 25, it's brake lines out of Gilroy and into Hollister. And also, Highway 17, southbound, sluggish from 85 to the Lexington Reservoir. Big account, small account, they all count. Feel valued no matter how much you're worth. Talk to Chuck Charles Schwab, 1-800-4-SCHWAB. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Time call 888-5 Peter B. 888-573-8372. Or you can try 867-5309. I've never actually dialed it. And up next, Chris in Salinas. Thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show, Chris.
How you doing?
Doing okay, and thanks for that email you sent.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, and by the way, I'll share with people. Chris sent an email to People for the American Way asking about their endorsement of the Rush-Holt bill, which is aimed at correcting the flaws in our electronic voting systems. And there are many people like Brad Friedman and other activists who believe that this bill needs more work, and they're withholding support. But People for the American Way sent you a lengthy, about a 10-page file in PDF, with their analysis and arguments, and we're going to see if we can get one of the organizations like PFAW or Common Cause who have endorsed the bill to come on with Brad and have a friendly conversation this Friday about those issues.
Yeah, maybe get John Gideon to come on if you can.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
I was going to call about the health care issues. Nobody seems to want to talk about returning health care back to nonprofits. You know, instead of going all the way to the single payer, how come we don't start with returning health care to the nonprofit status as it was prior to Reagan? You know, and I just want your thoughts on that. You know, I mean, is this something that can't be done, or do we, I mean, where can we go from here, and how can we push for this?
Well, one of the fundamental issues, Chris, is that nonprofits can't make massive contributions to political campaigns. And Big Pharma does it. Big HMO does it. The insurance companies, as you heard, if you were listening in our first hour today, Grace Marie Turner was there at the White House with all these CEOs from Aetna and Mutual. I wrote down a couple of them. They are the problem. And that's who Bush is turning to solve it. It's very similar, although this is a more open process. It's similar to Dick Cheney's secret energy task force. It was all these oil barons coming in to say, here's how we can maximize our profits. You know, these are not issues that are explored in order to benefit the American people. And Bush only reluctantly embraced this issue of health care because he's desperate to change the subject from his failed foreign policies and the debacle in Iraq. And his State of the Union message included the health care issue, but the way he framed it and the proposal he has made is a non-starter for the Democratic majorities on the Hill. And likewise, if you recall, he talked and talked and talked about his plan to privatize our Social Security accounts. But he never presented any legislation, even a draft or a two-page white paper about exactly what his proposal was. And there was never a bill introduced to legislate the proposals made by the president. Likewise, I could be wrong, but to date, I have not heard of any Republican or Democrat introducing legislation related to health care with the president's bogus proposal to tax people who get fully paid benefits from their employer while giving a standard deduction, not a tax credit or a rebate, but a deduction for the cost of health care up to $15,000.
Yeah, well, we need a system that's going to be fair to everyone, and I just feel that we should at least start with returning this system to a nonprofit status, because health and your own life should not be put in the balance of a profit and loss.
Well, I am somewhat sympathetic to the pharmaceutical companies for the high cost of research and development. And so I think that while the system isn't perfect, the idea that they can have, 7 to 10 years of a patented medicine where they can earn back the investment, the capital that they put into R&D, makes sense in a conceptual way. But they've taken us to the cleaners on that time and time again. And now we have a case where the government is subsidizing a lot of this research, and taxpayers never get a payback from that, as the pharma companies now, through Medicare D, can charge, highway robbery. And in fact, there should be negotiations. There should be bulk buying discounts given to the recipients of Medicare Part D.
You know, a bigger ripoff that, since you just mentioned Medicare, is the Medicare C plan, which is a privatization of Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
They're farming it out to basically middlemen to offer up health care insurance that the taxpayers are paying for.
Yeah. Chris, thanks a lot for your call today. Always good to hear from you.
All right, you take it easy.
And I appreciate the email, too. Here's an email from Ty. He says, the female guest today was obviously a hack sent to sell an idiotic and expensive health care plan. If Canada, England, Italy can offer free health care to their citizens, so can we. Thanks, Ty. Now to Tom in Phoenix. Hello, Tom.
Hi, Peter. Hey, I have two quick questions for you. One, what are your feelings on Ron Paul running for president? I think he's at the top of my list. And secondly,
I need
talking
to,
about
okay.
Raising income taxes and things like that. If you watch America's Freedom, the Fascism by Aaron Russo, there is no tax. We should not be paying a tax. If you want to raise taxes, you want to raise the corporate taxes. And what are your thoughts about that?
All right, first to Ron Paul. I don't know enough about him. I understand him as a libertarian who is nominally a Republican from Texas. And I've read just in passing that he's announced he's running for president, but I don't know enough about him to offer you an opinion. On the tax side, certainly I'd love to see us abolish the income tax in an ideal world, but the truth is that a more regressive tax would replace it, either the kind of flat tax that would benefit the ultra-rich, or they would lean more heavily on consumption taxes like sales tax. So while it's not perfect, I accept the income tax, and I support, in general, John Edwards' proposal that in order to pay for improved health care and expanding coverage to every American, he would roll back the tax cuts on those who make more than $200,000. So that's my take, and I'm out of time, Tom. So thanks for your call today. I got to hit the road.
Happy trails to you.
I'm Peter B. Collins. Thanks for listening. We'll do this again tomorrow. Same time, same stations, and I hope you'll tune in.
Happy trails to you.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Peter King. It's being billed as a sign of success. British Prime Minister Tony Blair is expected to announce the first British troop withdrawals from Iraq when he addresses Parliament tomorrow. Sky News reporter Ursula Arrington.
The withdrawal of British troops from southern Iraq has always been part of the plan. The Prime Minister is expected to announce to the House of Commons that with the success of Operation Sinbad and with Iraqi forces now strong enough to maintain control, the time is right to start bringing British troops home.
The White House says the move was expected and is welcome. A big win for big tobacco. Here's CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein.
The Supreme Court tossed out a $79.5 million award to the widow of an Oregon smoker. Industry critic Stanton Glantz says Philip Morris is getting away with murder.
It's basically effective immunity for the tobacco companies for their behavior.
And legal analyst Andrew Cohen says the ruling may apply to other big businesses that cause harm to consumers.
Corporate defendants in other cases now will be able to point to this ruling when they try to cut or limit punitive damage awards, so this is no small matter.
The Supreme Court ruled Philip Morris should not have been punished for harm done to all smokers. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
A week after the start of the JetBlue meltdown, the carrier's still not quite back up to speed, but its chairman promises to make it up to stranded passengers present and future. CBS News correspondent Sharon Alfonsi has more.
The airline meltdown and passenger misery could set off change across the industry. Today, JetBlue introduced its customer bill of rights. Under it, passengers will be compensated with cash. The longer they wait, the more money they get. If a flight is canceled within 12 hours of departure, they get a full refund. And if a plane is delayed on the ground for 5 hours, passengers can get off.
Drug maker Merck has come under fire for lobbying efforts to make its new cervical cancer vaccine required for adolescent girls to enroll in school. Now the company says it's backing off, suspending a campaign. Spokeswoman Mary Elizabeth Blake.
Gardasil has been so widely embraced, and we don't want any misperception about Merck's role to distract from the ultimate goal, which is fighting cervical cancer. So Merck has reevaluated our approach at the state level and have decided to not lobby for school requirements for Gardasil.
Part of the controversy, the drug protects against a sexually transmitted disease that causes cervical cancer.